Blog Talk Radio.
This is Louis Martinet, and I listen every day to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
This is Crystal Jones Bond, and we are celebrating the Year of the Woman on the Hair Radio Show.
I don't know what time it is. Look at here. It's the Hair Morning Radio Hair Show with Terry Hunt. It's your boy, Smooth Black. I just want to say, thank God for this company, y'all. Y'all ready to be blessed. The Hair Radio Nation going to the next level, y'all. Get it, 2021. God bless.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Gary Hines.
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Kerry Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carapi Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
Come on.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now my very special guest comes from the world of hair products and just all around beauty. It is my honor to bring back to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Ms. Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. Validate Beauty. First of all, welcome. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. How are you doing, Carrie Hines?
I'm doing just great, and to our amazing fans. Now, they remember you, I have to say, Valerie, they remember you down in South Jersey coming to the big Hair Nation Expo and launching your products and doing all these amazing things. We're just happy to have you back on the show.
Yes, thank you so much. The event was amazing.
Yeah, now, I have to tell folks, let's just remind everybody, what does it mean to be someone out there doing your own products at this point?
Well, at this time, especially with COVID-19, I think is an opportunity to reinvent yourself. And I have found a way to do that by simply adding new products to my brand. And I'm coming out with an amazing deodorant, all natural, yep, organic, and I'm very excited about it.
Absolutely, as you should be. Now, officially tell everybody the name, the exact name of your products and all that wonderful good stuff.
Oh, the name of my products are called Validate Your Beauty, and I have a hair strengthening oil. I have a toner for your skin. I also have shampoo, which is called Bite the Apple, and then I also have Smooth Touch, which is the conditioner, and soon I also will be coming out with the Rosemary Mint, which is really going to be a new added amazing shampoo.
Now, I'm going to tell you, I also want us to carry some of these amazing products right at the Hair Radio Morning Show in our amazing store. Valerie's going to have her own thing set up through all that we're doing and all that she's doing, and we're just so honored and happy. I really am. Look for Valerie's new show. Now, you're going to be launching a couple of shows right here on Hair Radio, the Hair Radio Morning Show. You'll be listening to Valerie talking. We're going to ask her about what she's going to be talking about and give you guys a little preview. And then also on the Salon TV Network. Right now, you guys have the Salon TV Network app, but she's going to be out with her own show that you can watch her talking about some of the things that are important to her and her following. So what are some of these things that you would like to do that you see yourself carving out for you in the way of promotion and just reaching folks out there?
Well, my target audience is going to be 50-plus. I am a woman of 50-plus, and I want to be able to have a platform for women 50-plus to be able to feel that they can recreate themselves. It's like almost a rediscovery. And a lot of times, too often, I hear women 50-plus say, I just want to retire, I'm tired, it's over for me, and I want to change that type of mindset to, and not really change the mindset, but just add to that by letting them know there's so many things they still can do at 50 plus, and all it takes is just having a platform of women coming together and sharing different perspectives, and I think that that is going to open the door for women 50 plus to know that there's so much more to us.
And on that note, I want to thank Valerie for being on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Also, in preparation for launch of Valerie's new show, Validate Your Beauty, on the Hair Radio Network and Salon TV Network and all that wonderful good stuff, we're going to set it up on our app where you can go and ask Valerie. And we'll take those questions and we'll forward them over to Valerie. Simple and easy. Go to Salon TV Network, download the app in the Google Play Store. It's free. We will actually have it there where you can ask Valerie yourself. Thank you so much, Valerie, for being with us. We're excited about your show.
Thank you so much, Carrie, for having me and for supporting my mission. And I am excited to be working with you. And I look forward to meeting some amazing women, signing in and joining my show and really joining with the Hair Nation Radio. And just let's just have a good time and just let's just have some fun. So some fun.
Something tells me you ain't seen nothing yet. Keep it right here, folks. We've got a whole lot more. Valerie, thanks so much for being with us. We've got a lot more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to go.
Are you a stylist, barber, nail tech, or involved in personal care on any level? Are you good at what you do? I bet you are. And as being as good as you are, that leaves you less time to handle your clients. I mean, as far as booking appointments, product sales, pricing, and all that. Well, I have something that'll help you on that end and still allow you to be great. ChairWatch. It's a new mobile booking platform that allows your client direct access to you. It'll allow them to book, change, cancel appointments, place themselves on standby, buy products, and even be able to send you direct messages. And that is just a taste of all the services that ChairWatch provides. Sounds good? Then check it out at chairwatch.com, or you can download the app via the Apple Store or Google Play. ChairWatch, a new and better way to connect with your clients.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines, and I have a very special guest with us today. His name is Dr. Joel Freeman. Now, he is the founder, CEO, and president of the Freeman Institute. Dr. Freeman, I'd like to welcome you to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Well, it's my pleasure to be with you, Carrie.
Absolutely. Now, first of all, we've got to start at the beginning. Tell everyone what the Freeman Institute is.
It's a company I started back about 21, 22 years ago. And we have eight arenas of expertise, and that ranges from workshops and retreats and keynote addresses to culture change, reality-based organizational change. And then I do executive success coaching. I do Black History and Diversity Day presentations. And I have a whole aspect that deals with entrepreneurship and business intelligence and creativity. And then do open registration seminar events for communities, and then also develop the Rosetta Stone Replica Project. The Rosetta Stone is not the language software company. It's the actual artifact that was used to crack the code to hieroglyphics back in the early 1800s, and the original is in the British Museum. It was made in Egypt on the west bank of the Nile. They found it in 1799, French soldiers did. But anyway, I have the world's first and only full-size three-dimensional replica that's available for the general public. And also have my own publishing company and other projects we work with. So that kind of gives you pretty much a quick overview of the Institute.
Sure. And tell the folks out there, where is the Institute located? And we'll take it from there in terms of what it's all about.
Sure. It's in Maryland, not far from Annapolis, Maryland.
Okay. And so I want to just let everybody know, as you were kind enough to just kind of give us a quick overview of the Freeman Institute, but when I looked at your website at freemaninstitute.com, I saw quite a bit of information, so many different things that really kind of piqued my interest, and I was just blown away, to be quite frank with you, Dr. Freeman. One of the things that we'll get into, there's so many different aspects, like I said, that we're going to get into, but one of my favorite parts that I uncovered on your site, of course, like some of the, you know, on a lighter side, some of the quotes that you have there are just fantastic. And so, you know, I just wanted to let you know that I'm someone who gravitates towards quotes and things of that nature. So when I saw and I look at your kind of your long list of items that you have on your site, and I see that you cover kind of everything, you really do. And you outline it there, you put it there. It's a lot of work that has gone into this. You have some wonderful things that you're doing, obviously, in the way of education. And you have, you know, just some great things historical reference. And then my other part of this that I absolutely love is that you have a huge collection of artifacts and things that you know, that document the African American experience, or the African experience, I guess, that if you were on some level. So, you know, we want you to walk us through just about everything. So, and then I'm going to end with the entrepreneurship, because that's another part of this
that fits into a great deal of where we are today at the Hair Radio Morning Show and what we talk about quite often. So I've got a whole thing on that to kind of cover with you. So let's talk about this particular, before we even get into Annie Malone, which we will definitely get into, let's talk about the, I think I saw something that you had written, a documentary, if you will, on a white man's journey into through Black America, I think it was. Why don't you tell the folks about this and how all this came to be, why this came to be, and how you got involved? Because I understand that you're from Canada. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, what
so
happened
how did
is
that?
I left it up leaving home when I was 17. I come from a little town of Three Hills, Alberta, Canada. And I left home at 17, just started hitchhiking all around North America, long-haired
wow.
hippie, dope-smoking fool, and just traveled probably 5,000-6,000 miles on my thumb, pretty much
wow.
all around North America. And then I had an experience that actually changed my life, that really caused me to revisit, you know, what my purpose was and what my goals were. I signed up for Bible school the next day, and
how old were you, if I may ask, at that point?
I was,
if you don't
mind. I was actually about 17.
Really?
I was 19 years of age. I'm sorry, 19 at that
wow.
point.
Wow. Okay.
And then I ended up going to school. I became a pastor. I became chaplain for the Bullets, the Wizards, and the NBA.
Wow.
One of the first chaplains in the history of the NBA. And I started that in 1978-79 season. And
so then, what are the chaplain, for those of us who don't know, obviously we know what a chaplain does in general, but what did a chaplain for the NBA do exactly? Like how does all that work?
Well, I'm actually writing a book about it right now called Finding the Open Man, subtitled The Surprising Benefits of Unselfishness. And basically, the whole idea behind being a chaplain is to be a confidant, a friend, someone without any hidden agenda, someone who keeps everything in absolute confidence and is just there for the guys, is not there to take but to give. And it's such a rare situation for so many NBA players because most people have a hidden and sometimes not so hidden agenda. And so sometimes they don't even know for a year to 2 years what their real agenda is for some people that want to get close to them, either through their kids,
wow.
their wife or family, parents. They try to get through to the player. And so I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to do it. And so I just knew I could love these guys unconditionally, and I could be a listening ear. I didn't always have the right thing to say, perhaps, but I could at least listen. And I think that over 20 seasons, I mean, there are 6 coaching changes, and generally speaking, a new coach brings in his or her new people, you know, depending on the WNBA or NBA or whatever. They just clear the deck and start with their own people. And to have survived 6 coaching changes, I still shake my head. It's remarkable to me that even happened. But it was a great ride. Got to know a lot of players and their families, and that, in a nutshell, is what it's all about.
So you probably I also understand that you used to get a lot of questions from these guys, and that's kind of what also helped to prompt you and kind of push you forward with getting to have a deeper understanding. So what kind of questions did they pepper you with?
Well, what happened is of course, you can imagine, when I was 25 years of age when this happened, and my first season, and I've always looked rather young, and you can imagine I probably looked about 16 or 17 years of age when I was 25. And so they're looking at each other and saying, "You mean we're supposed to spill our guts to that guy? You got to be kidding me." And so it was earning their respect. But I think that they were testing the seams of my soul and trying to, and the sincerity of my heart by asking questions. It's probably unconscious. I don't think it was a conscious grilling or anything like that. But over time, they began to ask questions like, you know, what did Jesus look like? What part did people of African descent have to play in biblical and extra-biblical history? Just questions like that that I found that I did not have the responses to. Heck, I didn't even know what questions to ask. And so what happened is that little by little, it forced me to start researching so that I could have some type of a credible response to them. Then you fast forward. That was my first inkling, real inkling, that I needed to grow and expand. I never was interested in history in school, but that got me started. Then you fast forward to about 1995, I met a gentleman by the name of Don Griffin. He was the senior HR manager for a company, and by that time in 93, I had stopped pastoring and decided to take my pastor's heart into the business world. So I launched my own company called the Freeman Institute. And at that point, I was at his job, you know, working, doing some events for his senior leadership team. And between sessions, Don began to share with me his journey as an African-American male growing up and some of the latest revelations and understandings he had about himself, about history, and it fascinated me. So I began to study some of the things that he was saying, began to research. I had that much respect for him. And I remember going to the library time and time again. There's no internet at the time. And I just would get these, what we used to call VHSs or videos.
Right, remember those.
And so I'd bring home a video, let's say, a series called Africa, A Voyage of Discovery by Basil Davidson. Is a BBC series, a man from Great Britain. And then I'd pick up the Eyes on the Prize, Part 1, Part 2, The Promised Land, about the move from the South to especially the Chicagoland area. And I just began to read books, and then I bumped into Ivan Van Sertima. And I remember calling him up. Someone gave me his home phone number. I called him up, and I said, you don't know me, and I barely know you, but I would like to get to know you. And what happened is that he began to share things with me, and then he got my address. The next thing I knew, 3 weeks later, I got a big, huge box of his books that he edited and wrote. And then I called him back and asked him if he would become my historical guide, my main historical guide. And we spent hours on the phone together where I'd read a book, and I'd redline it. I'd ask all kinds of questions. And he let me ask any off-the-wall question that was ricocheting around my little pea brain. It was just a fascinating experience.
Wow.
We had a great time talking. He's passed away now since 2009. And I miss him, you know, on many levels, but especially just hanging out with him on the phone, just talking with him about various things, bouncing ideas around. So that kind of was the genesis to, and then I met a gentleman by the name of Mark Mitchell, who has a huge Black History collection, and Mark and I began to talk, and I just saw the power of his collection, the impact it had. It is a transcendent quality, transcending race and gender and generation and religion, class. I mean, just fascinating. And so I began to, he became a mentor of mine, and I began to develop my own collection, which is now well over 3,000 pieces. The oldest piece dates back to 1553. I've been able to do exhibits at the United Nations twice, and plus they've used some of my pieces and information on international exhibit that's going around the world right now. Clinton Presidential Library have done things in conjunction with the White House communication staff. Also, Secret Service, 4 years in a row, FBI, just fascinating stuff that
Wow. Has
emerged as a result of this collection. It's opened up doors, and I find that especially when I'm speaking about diversity or Black history, it opens up the minds and hearts to receive what I have to share, because when people see 20, 30, 40 pieces of my collection in exhibit, before I speak. You know, now they're intrigued. What's this? What's this white guy all about? What's his deal? You know, what's motivating him? And that's the cartoon bubble above everybody's head. And so I'm able to respond best I can to that. In fact, I have a website called whitemansstory.com. That white man's, no apostrophe on the S, man's, but whitemansstory.com. And that's my online response to that question that people have about, you know, what motivated me to get involved.
Well, I also want to talk a little bit more about this amazing collection that everybody is talking about, of course, that you indicated, you know, over 3,000 pieces. I think I saw in your video or somewhere where it even had, like, the shackles, if you will, for, like, that some of the slaves may have, you know, worn or what have you. In addition to so many other different things, what are some of the other standout items that are included in the collection? And I understand that it is online to some degree.
Yes, blackhistorycollection.com gives kind of a brief overview of some of the pieces, but it's blackhistorycollection.com, singular. And, you know, that one pair of shackles that I received, I was over in Ghana at the Slave Coast Castle, and I was talking with a gentleman there. His name was Stephen Donica, and I began to share with him a little bit about, you know, the film that I had co-created with Don Griffin and the book and some other things in my collection. And then I said, how would it be possible for me to get a pair of shackles, a set of shackles from here, from Africa? And he says, I don't know, but I'll find out. And he brought everything before the village elders there, and they voted unanimously to donate a set to me, which he sent to me. And I just blown away that they were that kind, and because I'm sure it's not an unlimited number of shackles they have available. And for them to do that, I just feel so respected by these the individuals who voted on this, and of course also Stephen Danica. And so the other pieces, I have what I've tried to do, Carrie, is to develop kind of a more of a global picture, because I find that here in America and in some parts of Canada also, there's this intractable black-white situation where it's very hard to understand, to cross that no-man's land, or so to speak, between the two races. And so I tried to bring more of an international view, and because I really think that once people begin to realize that there were things going on in South America. In fact, there's well over 3 million that right now that speak Spanish and Portuguese, people of African descent in South Africa. And many people can't imagine that and cannot understand it. But it just is. I have documents going back to 1553 from Peru, from Ecuador, from Argentina. Some of them are written in Old Spanish. So that even if someone knows Spanish today, they cannot even read these other documents. You have to have a specialized understanding about the old Spanish script. And these are all slave documents. I've got an 11-page document from a hospital where slaves were, if they got sick, that's where they went, St. Bartholomew, just outside of Lima, Peru. And it's just an astonishing thing. And then also I have... What I've tried to do with the collection is I tried not to spend so much time documenting the horrific nature of the slave trade and all the rest of it, even though that's a part of the picture and is a necessary part of the picture. What I've tried to do is to showcase the inventiveness of it and the creativity of people who have been under the boot of slavery and the trade. And you know,
and what have you found
Jim Crow
for the most
laws.
Part? Right.
Well, what I've discovered is I developed a metaphor that is not new, but I've applied it to this situation. It's called Blades of Grass in a Concrete Jungle. I commissioned a 90-second animated video that people can see on YouTube, Blades of Grass in a Concrete Jungle. And it what it basically is the concrete is a metaphor for all the horrific things that have happened, ranging from lynching, the black code laws, and the depression where blacks were hired last and fired first, and just so many issues that are, it's impossible to exaggerate the horrific nature what people endured. But then we talk about the blades of grass who came up through, cracked through, and sometimes exploded through the concrete. So the thicker the concrete, the more inspirational the story. So by using this metaphor, it gives permission to talk about the horrific nature without it being a downer. Because then, as I mentioned, the thicker the concrete, the more inspirational the story. Once we begin to understand how terrible it was, and then we see the accomplishments of individuals in spite of how terrible it was, my goodness, I say, I think I've got problems. You know, I mean, here's an example of somebody who had everything stacked against them, and they still made something of their lives and an inspiration to their families. I mean, we all have concrete internally. Stuff like, you know, hey, I'm dumb, I'm stupid, I can't make it, I'm a fraud, if people really knew what I was all about. That's the stuff that echoes in the minds and the hearts of just about every human being. And at one point or another, that can actually rob them of their purpose and their potential.
Right.
And so that we all have that internal concrete. I'm too short, I'm too fat, I'm too skinny, I'm too tall, I'm too this, I'm too that. My ears are too big. My ears are too small. My hair is not enough. You know, all that kind of stuff that gurgles around. But then you add to it the systemic issues in a culture that provide external concrete that actually can become so terrible and so demanding of a person's attention that it can actually cripple them and come rolling over them and just say, well, I guess I'm nothing. I might as well commit suicide. I might as well do something harmful to myself so that I sabotage my own success. But here are people that came up through it in spite of it. And that, to me, is I just shake my head. And every time I see pieces from Annie Malone and Madam C.J. Walker and Frederick Douglass and Toussaint Louverture and other individuals, Marcus Garvey, I mean, the list goes on and on and on of individuals, Pearl Bailey. It just is astonishing to me what these individuals accomplished. And so what I've tried to do is develop a touchstone, if you will. For instance, like Pearl Bailey, I have the actual check that she was paid for her part in Porgy and Bess. And someone, I'm not going to tell you how much it was, because someone might say, how much was that? I'm going to say you have to go to blackhistorycollection.com and do a search for Pearl Bailey, and you'll find out how much she was paid for her part in the movie that came out in the early 50s. And so it just is amazing when you think of what people like her accomplished. I have Ethel Waters, her contract, mm-hmm. her book, His Eyes on the Sparrow. It was a smash bestseller. And I have the actual contract signed by her and her co-author, the one who the ghostwriter, not the ghostwriter, because he was declared that he wrote the book, but co-author with her, Charles Samuels. And then I have other items in here.
Well, Dr. Freeman, was it hard to kind of gather these items? How do you find these items? I mean, is it easier nowadays because of the Internet, I guess I should ask?
It's actually very difficult. If someone were to embark upon a collection like this
if I were to start a collection today, I don't think I would be able to do it.
Be virtually impossible, and I'm not kidding. It is. Wow. I know what's out there and what's not out there, and it is the stuff that you get now, just reproductions, and there's a lot of fakes, and it's very hard. For instance, I have an original letter, handwritten letter by Frederick Douglass. It's almost priceless because where can you find one? You know, someone might say, well, I've got everything. No, you don't. You don't have a handwritten letter by Frederick Douglass. You know?
No, that's huge.
Someone like an Oprah or, you know, you name the names out there of individuals that would be interested. I mean, it just, if they went out to look for it, they couldn't find some items that I've been able to bring together.
Wow. Well, I have to say, let me just remind everybody and kind of bring everybody up to where we are. If you've just joined us, you're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, today's guest is Dr. Joel Freeman, and he is the founder, CEO, and president of the Freeman Institute in Maryland. And we've been kind of following along and just thoroughly impressed with the amount of information that you have. You are truly a historian in every sense of the word, and an entrepreneur, and you just cover everything, really. I don't think I've seen anybody in a long time like this who I just, we're all blown away with this kind of information, this knowledge, and the willingness that you share, putting it out there. And it's quite remarkable. So I'm going to kind of turn to, I do want to talk a little bit about Annie Malone and some of the other folks that you write about. And I know we kind of glossed over the book a bit that you wrote with the gentleman, Don Griffin, I believe.
Don Griffin, yes.
So I want you to talk about the book specifically. Tell the folks a little bit more. Are we able to get a copy of this book?
Yes, it can be gotten online on Amazon or anywhere else. And or they can contact me after the program or something like that, and I'd be happy to sign a copy for them and send it to them.
Sure.
Right. But
it's called The Return to Glory. I just want to make sure that
yes,
that's clear, Return to Glory.
Subtitled The Powerful Stirring of the Black Man. And the first half is all about the historical content, and that's the half that Don wrote. The second half has to do with the mental, emotional, spiritual roadmap to wholeness. And in that last part, I detail how a person can walk through the grieving process. Because I remember when I was interviewing people for the book, especially because the book is targeting especially young men, ages about 12 to about 27. And while we were researching this, we had people tell us, you're crazy. You know, why would you want to write a book? Because if you want to hide something from young African-American men, you just put it in a book, right? That's what they're telling us. And they said, you're wasting your time. You got to use more visual, music, whatever, other means and methodologies to reach your target audience. But we kept on going with it, and I'll tell you.
Which is a horrible stereotype all in it, itself.
It is, absolutely,
you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But that was the messaging message we were getting from people we were interviewing for the book.
Right.
So anyway, what happened is the second half deals with the mental, emotional, spiritual roadmap. And so what I did is, you can imagine on a suspicion scale from somewhat to extremely suspicious, we're banging on the extremely suspicious end of the scale when I'm interviewing someone, let's say, for the book. And they're saying, you know, why are you writing this book and who are you and what are you all about? And so what I did is I asked a question that changed the tone of every single interview. And brought some of us from some interviews from 45 minutes to sometimes 4, 6, maybe even 8 hours. Some dear friendships emerging. And here's the question that changed the tone of every single interview. Do you remember the moment when you realized that because of the color of your skin, that the rules were somehow different for you? Now, by asking that question, to have a 65-year-old man pause, look out the window, and then look back at me, and then tell me with brilliant clarity what happened when he was 5 or 6 years of age. Remembering the weather, what he was wearing, his mother's response when he told her about it, and just, my goodness, it really, that question changed the tone. because I began to then see that there was a whole grieving process. After that moment, whether it's 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 10 or 12 or 19 or 20 years of age, depending on the situation, to then go from that moment to what Elizabeth Kubler-Ross wrote when she was still alive. She wrote a book about the grieving process. And grieving, we've all lost loved ones or lost a dream, but grieving is all about loss. And so the loss that I began to identify, because my PhD work is in psychology, and I think in that direction, began to see that the loss had to do with, it was the loss of innocence. That all of a sudden a young kid, a young boy, young girl, a young individual, suddenly has, it's like the scales have been taken off. It's like the blinders have been taken off, and they now can see, wow, they hate me just because of the color of my skin? You got to be kidding me. And then the grieving process, ranging from denial to depression to just all the different aspects that go with the whole grieving process. And in the book, I spend a chapter on each layer, each aspect of the grieving process. And of course, it isn't a neat, nice and tidy while I'm moving from one part to the next, never to be revisited, but a person could be in whatever acceptance means, you know, because who knows what that means. A person could be in acceptance at 4:30 in the afternoon and be back at square one at 7 o'clock that night and working through the whole process again. So that began to really unlock to me the doorway, the gateway to understanding what humans go through in a situation like this. And it had an astonishing impact on me.
Well, you know something, Dr. Freeman, I have to ask you, and I think this is about as good a time as any. When you see all of the things that are happening in the country in these current times, and you being a person of faith and education and all the above, and what can you say, and how do you explain it? What are your thoughts on it? I'm just curious.
Well, I think that humans are humans wherever we go. In other words, if you're a Korean in Japan, you're going to be experiencing some crazy situations. If you are a let's say a gypsy in Hungary or in Sweden, you're going to be experiencing situations that are very, very difficult. And if you're from one tribal system or another tribal system, warring against another tribal system in Africa, very similar dynamics. Same color of skin in all in these accounts, except Korean and Japanese might have just a variation of the color of skin. But and also in Mexico, if you're darker skin or lighter skin color, the darker skinned individuals deal with incredible discrimination. In Italy, if you're from North Italy versus South Italy, in Great Britain, just the sound of your speech, if you're from Yorkshire or Scotland, and you're talking with someone who's from London, you know, from a certain part of London, there's immediate, the moment the person opens their mouth, there's an immediate class system that emerges. My point being is that for me, I think that wherever we go, there's going to be this kind of situation. And I think it's important for us to understand the history so that we never repeat it, you know, personally. Let me tell you a quick story. I was down at Los Alamos National Laboratory some years back, about 7, 8, maybe 10 years ago now. And I was speaking at their Martin Luther King event. And I talked about the moment. And I talked about the grieving process. And there was a gentleman there who was very high up at Los Alamos National Laboratory at the time, a man of African descent. He came up to me afterwards and began to share with me his story a little bit. And then after he shared with me a story, he said, you know, he says, when I experienced the moment, when I realized because of the color of my skin that the rules were somehow different for me, he said, it was like a hurricane force wind came against me. He was no more than about 6-7 years of age. And he said, in fact, by the way, when you think about a hurricane, it takes about, 75 miles per hour for a wind
right.
to get a name. And he said that what happened is that I learned as a young man how to lean into the wind. I learned how to have a sense of humor in the midst of the wind. I learned, it was a dark sense of humor, but I had a sense of humor.
Right.
I learned how to be successful in spite of the wind. I learned how to have relationships with people in spite of the wind, but I knew the wind was there. And he says later on, he says, I rose pretty high in the ranks. I got a job in Japan. He said, I went to Japan and got a tour there. And he said, the moment I got off the airplane, he says, wouldn't you know it, the wind stopped. And remember what I said about the Korean and Japanese. If you're Korean, the wind is at about 120 miles per hour for you. But as a man of African descent, he said the wind has stopped for him. About 3-4 weeks later, there were a delegation from D.C. came to visit. And he said they met at a restaurant. And he said within the first 5 minutes, he said, at the restaurant, he says, I felt the wind pick up again. It was just crazy and strange. Then he looked at me. He's a no BS kind of guy. He looked at me straight in the eye and as serious as a heart attack. He said, for some reason, I don't feel any wind coming from you. Now, Carrie, I don't know. It just struck me so incredibly hard what he said to me. And I thought, I got in the car. I mean, we're I had to get to Albuquerque to get on the plane to come back to Baltimore. A couple of times I had to pull over because I was crying so much, because it meant so much to me. And I just, at that point, I began to pray, I began to talk to God. I said, I never want to be a person who sponsors the wind for my wife, for my kids, for my next-door neighbors, people at church, people wherever I go, and be in cross-cultural situations. I don't want to be a sponsor of the wind. And not if, but when I do sponsor the wind, I just want to be man enough to go to that person, whoever it might be, and ask for forgiveness and apologize and repair as best as I can. Now, I think that is a metaphor, if you will, for how things can change. It's one by one, people reaching out and in spite of the pain. Henry Nouwen wrote a book called The Wounded Healer, and I think that's what it's all about, that in the midst, in spite of our wounds, in spite of the history, that we all seek to understand before seeking to be understood. That's what Augustine said in the 4th century.
Wow.
Seek to understand before seeking to be understood. Those are words worth embroidering. But
I love
that. Cool about that statement is that it doesn't preclude the need to be understood, but it's all about understanding. And I think if every one of us, within the sound of my voice, myself included, if every one of us over the next 30 days said, I am going to seek to understand before seeking to be understood with our spouses, with our kids, with our next-door neighbors, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And just, I think it could have a profound impact on our, on the quality of our lives, on our experiences, and the impact on our work experience, everything that we can imagine. So that's what I think it needs to happen. And so every pore in my, every bone, every tissue in my body, every cell in my body, I want to be committed to that. I want to be committed to impacting other people, like the hot coal principle. The old days, we had the hibachi grill, and you put the briquettes in there, and there's only one or two that are hot, and then you kind of bring the other ones that are cold, you bring them up next to the hot ones, and you hope they catch fire. And
yeah.
So I just think if we can get just some people that are hot coal,
uh-huh.
briquette coals, and with this message, and little by little, the whole purpose behind the collection. I hold things lightly. That collection, the whole purpose of the collection is to help create an opening in the hearts for people to hear this message. And
wow.
my book, the books I write, everything is all designed to help open up doors and hearts, minds to these kinds of things, to get out of small-mindedness, to kind of move. We can't deny the pain, but it's kind of like a ratchet wrench. You know, a lot of people view the click, 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 you know, the backwards movement.
Right, right.
Just as that, a backwards movement, backwards movement. But actually, when you think about the purpose of the ratchet wrench to loosen a bolt or tighten a bolt, when you do the click, 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 that's an important part of the whole purpose of the ratchet wrench. What's my point? The point is I think sometimes we just need to take a step back, take a look at our pain. Click, 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 and when it's uncomfortable, turn the music off, turn the external stimulation off, and just confront the pain. And we might have to do it in counseling. We might have to do it reading books. We might have to do it in prayer. In a lot of different ways we deal with the pain, but we all have to do that click, 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 and take the step back. But really, that step back is not a backward step. It's a forward step because now we're ready to confront the issues in our lives, to deal with people out of respect, mutual respect. It's not me trying to be black or someone else trying to be white. It's just saying, hey, I'm comfortable in my own skin. I'm not going to diss my own people. I'm not going to tear my own race down. I'm just going to be who I am. And I'm going to allow you to be who you are when you come into that 5-foot zone around me. And so that's what it's all about, I think.
Wow. Well, I think you put it eloquently, I have to say. Let's talk about just turning a little bit over towards the entrepreneurial part of things. And I love how you really, I have to say, I read a little bit closely about some of the items in terms of you helping corporations and helping folks in terms of diversity and all kinds of different things and customer service and just teaching and being there to help guide folks. I was just quite impressed with all of that, Dr. Freeman. So I want to kind of just talk for a moment, and maybe we need to start off by recognizing the impact of an Annie Malone, of C.J. Walker, and then kind of talk about entrepreneurship in just in general terms. And then I have something I want to mention to you, but why don't we start there? Why is it so important, and it seems like all these things are connected when I think about, you know, the Freeman Institute. It seems like all of these things that you do, there is a theme, there is a purpose for all of these different aspects that you tackle. You do a lot, and you say a lot, and there's a reason, I believe. But I'd like for you to talk to that a little bit. You know, about the entrepreneurship and Annie Malone and all of that. Why did you decide to include Annie Malone as part of your wonderful site and information?
Well, Kerry, you are right. There's no more than 2 degrees of separation between any two things that I'm involved mm-hmm. with. In fact, what I did is I think it's important for everyone to do this. But I figured every major corporation or organization, faith-based, nonprofit, for-profit, whatever, most every successful organization has a vision statement, mission statement, core values, code of conduct.
Right.
And I figure why not everybody else? Why not individuals develop that? And so what I've done is I developed my own vision statement, my own mission statement, my own core values, and I detail that in the workbook called If Nobody Loves You, Create the Demand. It's a book about entrepreneurship, about taking an idea to the marketplace. It's a book about discerning the difference between a viable business dream and a nightmare as quickly as possible. And it's also developed so that an organization could create an entrepreneur club so that people can learn how to deal with objections and learn how to deal with rejection. Because if people can deal with those two things, especially learning it young in life, they can be successful in whatever they do, objections and rejection. And so I think that when it comes to entrepreneurship, see, one of the things that I want to do is help community-based organizations and faith-based organizations establish galleries, black history galleries in a community. And I think that a gallery can become, in fact, if someone goes to blackhistorygallery.com, blackhistorygallery.com, they can learn more about this model. Because I think the Black History Gallery can become like a town well for a community, where people can learn about morals and values and entrepreneurship and so many different aspects of what it means to return to glory. And so then what happens is that as a person learns about entrepreneurship, in fact, I think especially with, let's say, an organization wanting to mentor youth, you know, if you come at a young person with the whole idea of morals and values, they're going to be gone in New York second. But if you come at them with the idea of how can we connect now with later, you know, what do you do? What do you want to? Where do you want to be down the road 5, 10 years from now? And what are you doing now that will connect with 5 to 10 years from now? And you know, if what you're doing now doesn't connect with 5 to 10 years from now, then we need to revisit what you're doing now. And we can do that in a very positive way and begin to understand that the future is a connection of the eternal now, you know, the moment, these moments that we connect together that become the future. And so I think it's important to bring a group of young people together, let's say, and say, let's have an entrepreneur club. And by the way, let's develop an entrepreneurial a business together. And I developed a whole magazine project around that that's going crazy around the country right now. And let's develop a project so that you can learn how to deal with objections and rejection. And then you can learn how to shake a hand firmly while you're looking squarely in someone's eyes. You can learn how to dress in a way, in a manner that's going to be one less speed bump for someone to go over to get to you as a person. We're going to learn how to, just the way we communicate, what we say, how we say it, when we say it, time, tone, tact. We're going to look at all these different aspects. We'll look at your values, your morals, your character. But you see, all this stuff gets slipped in through the side door. And it's along the way, all this stuff becomes introduced because, you know, if you want to be successful, if you want to make more money, if you want to be a person that has a greater purpose in life and attracts people to you, your counsel is in demand, you have to start looking at these other areas. But if you lead with that foot, the other area foot, it's going to drive them away. But if you lead with the foot, you know, of success and entrepreneurship, because we're all either going to be an employer or an employee. And I prefer to train up employers, people with an entrepreneurial mindset that can end up hiring 100, 1,000, 10,000 people down the road.
Exactly.
And provide jobs for families. And that's the kind of mindset I like to prepare people for, and so that they're almost not content for anything else but that.
Exactly. Well, I love that. I really do. And that makes a lot of sense to me. Speaking of which, I see that you have the video there. I didn't get a chance to discover that before we, you know, began to chat today. But I'd like to talk a little bit about the Madam C.J. Walker items that you have, and I believe they're part of your collection. Or tell us a little bit about that, and how did you, you know, we'll turn to the hair part of it.
Okay.
How did you get that and talk a little bit about that. And I'm looking at your video, but I don't have the sound up. So, you know, walk me through a little bit of what all of that is about.
Well, Madam C.J. Walker, most everyone has heard of her. And because when I'm in a crowd, let's say 1,000 people, and I ask, how many hear of Madam C.J. Walker? And hands go up everywhere. She's an incredible person. She fought against lynching. She gave money for fighting against lynching. She went to Washington, D.C. to help create legislation against lynching. She was a woman of great character who helped to develop entrepreneurs, women entrepreneurs. And yet the question I generally have in a situation like that is, okay, what well did she draw her water from? What shoulders did she stand on to become who she was? And so I bumped into Annie Malone, and hardly in that same crowd of 1,000 people, you might have 99% of the folks raising their hand about Annie Malone,
exactly.
About Madam C.J. Walker, but then you might have three
no
or four
one.
People
right, exactly.
Saying they know who Annie Malone is.
Correct.
So I figured I'm going to make it part of my life mission is to help help people know about who Annie Malone is.
Yes.
Because she
Yes. Go ahead. Go right ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. She was.
Oh, no. She was an incredible person. She was actually, she trained up over 75,000 women entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
She trained Madam C.J. Walker in 1905, and Madam C.J. Walker became a Poro agent, because that was the name of her college, Poro College. She built this beautiful building in St. Louis, Missouri, four stories high. It looks. I have an original book that people can get off Amazon if they go to parocollege.com. And Paro College, it's just very simple. The word, first word is four letters. Paro, P as in Paul, O as in ocean, R as in Ralph, O as in ocean, Paro, like P-O-R-O, college.com. And they'll see this building, and then they'll also see a booklet that she published back in 1926. And a part of my Black History collection, yeah, I have an original one of those 1926 booklets. There's very few of them around. And when you open up the booklet, the first thing you start looking at is how incredible this building is. It's like it's straight. If I just showed you a picture of some of the rooms, you would swear it's out of Wall Street, New York. And this particular building was a building where she trained up, as I mentioned, over 75,000 women entrepreneurs who she gave cash awards to for saving accounts or home purchases. She gave a diamond ring to them after 5 years of service. Her philanthropy toward them and toward others was legendary. This building is just an incredible place that she created for this. She owned a whole city block in Chicago. She paid, imagine this, 1926 alone, she paid over $40,000 in taxes. Just think about that.
Amazing.
One of the first people in the entire state of Missouri to own a Rolls Royce. And,
who was actually the very first self-made female African-American millionaire? Annie Malone, or was it, I mean, not that it, you know, is something we should, you know, compare on any level, but I'm just curious because I've always grown up thinking it was Madam C.J. Walker with all of her, you know, things and accomplishments.
Yeah, from all the research I've done, if I were a betting man, and I'm not a gambling man, but if I were, I'd bet the farm that Annie Malone was the first millionairess of African descent, female millionaires in the country.
And that's what I'm getting. Why? How on this earth? I try to figure this out as well. How did? And I love Madam. I love both and all the things that they stand for.
They both are wonderful. Yes.
Absolutely.
And that's not even part of the discussion here.
Right. Exactly. But how on this earth did Madam C.J. Walker take all the things that she learned, which I'm sure was a wonderful tribute to Annie Malone, and seems that only America, it seems like we only remember or know of the accomplishments of the student as opposed to the teacher.
I think a lot of it had to do with Annie Malone. What happened is that she ended up getting married in, I think it was 1924-ish, right around there. And what happened is that after she got married, her husband, he was not a very good man. And he caused such incredible problems for her that I just shake my head. And felt that he was due so much more than and they ended up getting divorced, let me put it that way.
Wow.
And from that point on, what happened is her business became, she was a very, if you look at her building and everything that she did, it was incredible, impeccable, clean, it was orderly, it was, you could see the record system she had. My point being is that this was an incredible person. But after the wedding, then what happened is that he began to sabotage everything. And so, and she never recovered. Then the IRS got involved, and she never recovered from that at all. Here's a college that employed, in 1926, 175 people with franchise outlets in North America, South America, Africa, the Philippines, a wealthy, wealthy woman. And then at the end of her life, she pretty much dies destitute. And all that's left right now is the orphanage, the Annie Malone orphanage, that was a facility on Good Avenue. I don't know if you remember the song Johnny Be Good by Chuck Berry.
Yes,
he
of course.
He grew up on Good Avenue, right around the corner. And that's where the spelling Johnny Be Good, G-O-O-D-E, in the song, it comes from that Good Avenue.
All this time, I thought it was just Johnny Be Good, G-O-O-D. So,
yeah, G-O-O-D-E. If you look it up on the Internet, you'll see it's that's how it's spelled.
Wow.
And he later became a beautician under the Poro system. He graduated in 1952 because he thought the music thing wasn't going to work, and so he became a beautician. And of course, his songs just took off, and you know, he never went back to it. But
right, amazing. So okay, well, that explains a great deal for us on that, because I was just curious. I'm really sad to understand that she had that kind of a ending. But you know what? I always like to remind folks, and it always seems to me that it's always those who are incredibly talented and creative, and they always attract a certain kind of the opposite, if you will. I don't know. It just seems very strange to me. But anyway,
some
that's,
people make great personal choices and bad business choices, and other people make bad business
choices. It's the opposite, exactly.
Good personal choices.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It's crazy.
Exactly. Well, listen, thank you so much. This is great. Folks, if you've just joined us, we have really been kind of getting a great education, a great understanding of so many historical elements and things that we, you know, we kind of knew a little bit about, or we kind of heard about, and some of us have read some things, but not others. So we're so excited to have the gentleman behind the Freeman Institute. He is the founder, CEO, and president, Dr. Joel Freeman, and he's with us today. And this is just, I'm still kind of stuck on the 3,000, more than 3,000 pieces that you have in the Black History Collection. I can't wait to come and see that. So I'm very, very excited.
Thank you so much. I'm very excited
about it. Sure. So this is just wonderful. And we're going to tell the folks again, why don't you do that, Dr. Freeman? Tell the folks how they can reach you, how they can find out the items that they really need to focus on some of these. I mean, you have quite a bit of information.
Well, I think if people can go to blackhistorycollection.com, and then at the very bottom of the page is all of my contact information. And so then I'd be very happy to talk with them if they want to order a book, a film version of the book, Return to Glory, the entrepreneurship book, anything at all, or just want to talk maybe about something in there that they have a collection or a few pieces and they're wondering about it. I'd be very happy to talk with people. And so that's probably the best way, blackhistorycollection.com.
We're going to, of course, stay on top of all of this and bring you back, Dr. Freeman. We're going to keep we've got you now. And there is a whole lot of this that we're going to delve into on a regular basis, because this is something that's so critical and important for us to have a greater understanding about. And I feel so honored and lucky right now. I feel so lucky that I've been able to come across your information. I'm just very grateful. Now, I have to say, you know, just before we close out, I had mentioned this at the top of the interview. I love the quotes that you've assembled. I don't know who wrote them, but I just love them. One of them, one of the you know, and these are just a couple of them that I just said, oh, wow, how great. Patience is not waiting. It's how you act while you're waiting. So that's one. I love that. And I think that says so much. And my other favorite that I seem to have just picked up again from looking at, you know, I started at FreemanInstitute.com, and I saw this, and it's like age doesn't always bring wisdom. Sometimes age comes alone. I just love that. That says it all. So I want to just say you are just extraordinary. So
you know what?
You
People
are.
Say I'm,
you're extraordinary.
I'm an expert in this or that. I'm not an expert. I'm just a student. And so I'll always be a student learning.
Wow.
You know, like someone once said that you can't learn with your mouth open. You know, you just it's just more of a situation. You know, you just really want to. I'm always someone that I want to just learn. You know, because generally speaking, you aren't learning much when your lips are moving. And so I just want to be a person who listens at least twice as much than I speak.
I
did a lot more speaking today than I.
Well, that's
than I
okay.
Like to do.
that's exactly what I was about to say. It's okay when your lips are speaking when they're educating so many people, countless folks who need to hear what you have to say. So I am so grateful. And now, are you on social media? We need to find out. Are you on social media at all?
I'm on Facebook. I've got about 16 pages. In fact, there's a page called Black History Collection. It's the only one on Facebook. Got over 10,000 followers on that and got some very, very cool stuff on that. And then, of course,
well, you're
my
about
name,
to have 10,001.
It says Black History Collection right on the Facebook page. And then,
sure.
Of course, I have my own personal Facebook page, and I'd love to connect with anybody. And then I'm on LinkedIn and Twitter and who knows about me and all
okay.
that kind of stuff that's out there.
So we can find you. Okay. Well,
yeah.
I'm going to have you back, as I said, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Well, do you have any closing thoughts? You've been so kind to just share your perspective on all of this, and just someone who has done so much. Do you have any closing thoughts or words of inspiration or encouragement?
Well, I do. I think, speaking of the hair and beauty industry, you know, I just see how Asians have pretty much taken over, and I'm not mad at them. I think they just took advantage of a situation that was open and available. I've developed a 10-year plan on how African Americans can take back the hair care and beauty industry, starting from the top down and the bottom up. And I think Annie Malone figures very much into this. I would love to see this booklet get into every beauty parlor, every beauty salon, every barbershop in the country, and have people learn about Annie Malone. And then I'd like to see the most senior people in the hair care beauty industry, from the old guard companies, the new guard companies, come together. In the first year, not even deal with business things, just be develop relationships. To take a look at the elephants in the room, to walk through all of that, to deal with that, and then have a united, just not a united front necessarily, even though that's important, but united, just be united and to really become good friends and understand how important this is. And then in the second year, start developing manufacturing and then distribution. And little by little, I think that there's a whole willing audience built around Annie Malone's story that could be wide open, because people will not buy black just for the sake of buying black. They want to buy something that is a good price, that's easily available, it is distributed well, is manufactured well, and you know, you just check all the boxes off, and then someone will say, okay, now I'll buy whatever that product is. If it happens to be black, that's what I'm talking about, is to create a whole industry that can because without the if the consumers are trained and understand what's going on, I think, and then there's manufacturing and distribution all set up in place to deliver it, I think that within 10 years, the whole industry can turn around and it can become something that's well within the African-American community. But I think Annie Malone is the key for all of this.
Well, I just want to remind the folks, and the book that you're talking about, exactly the title and how we can get our hands on that book again.
It's Madam Walker's Role Model. It can be found on Amazon, eBay, but if they go to, if someone goes to Poro College, P-O-R-O, Paul Ocean, Ralph Ocean, porocollege.com, they can see how to order it. And I think it's such an important piece of history. You know, Carrie, I reached out to the leaders in the hair care beauty industry and only found two or three that even knew who Annie Malone was. And I said,
exactly.
I said, you know, that this is an important thing for people to learn about her so then they can begin to reanimate her legacy.
Well, I'll tell you something. It starts today. Dr. Freeman, I want to thank you again for being our very special guest right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're going to have you back to kind of, you know, continue this wonderful conversation. I think it was a great start, and you've helped to peel back just a little bit for us. And we've got some work to do. We've got some work to do. So we're going to have you back. Well, listen, I want to thank you again. And you, please remain on the line, Dr. Freeman. I'm going to close us out here, and we're going to chat. All right, folks, keep it right here. There's a whole lot more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to come. Thanks so much, Dr. Freeman.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
Just like the eyes are the window to the soul, the scalp is the window to beautiful and luxurious hair. The way to obtain it is with Stimulating Roots. Stimulating Roots will exfoliate and detoxify your scalp, promoting healthy hair growth. Stimulating Roots has a system to detoxify and grow your hair. Their shampoo combines menthol, camphor, and pink grapefruit essential oil to improve blood circulation in the scalp. Their conditioner, that stimulates, moisturizes, and hydrates the hair. The Regeneration Oil, that contains essential oils that work together to promote hair growth while calming an itchy, dry, and irritated scalp. Open the window to beautiful and luxurious hair. Awaken the senses to your scalp with Stimulating Roots. This is available at StimulatingRoots.com. That's StimulatingRoots, R-U-T-Z.com.
It's two thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air. I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story, and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, the Hair Radio Morning Show for complete details.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, today we have a very, very special guest with us. Her name is Peggy Dotson. Now, she is the woman behind UBC TV Network. The Hair Radio Show would like to welcome Miss Peggy Dotson. Welcome, Peggy.
Hey, Carrie. How are you?
I'm doing great. Well, listen, first of all, it's great to have you here. Now, we need to tell everyone what the UBC TV Network is.
Okay. First of all, Carrie, I'm so excited about being here. I am your fan. I think you're awesome. It's just really great. Well, UBC TV is actually, it started out as a concept for a TV network, but it has evolved into a broadcast multimedia company with different divisions and things like that. So it's sort of like a hybrid between a cable network, broadcast network, and a technology company, online company like a Netflix. So it's sort of like my own creation because of where we are in the industry. You know, cable is there, but it's not there like it was before. People are unplugging, and so people want the opportunity to view things on different platforms. By the way, which I have, you know, was ahead of my time because I was pushing this years ago,
many years. We're not going to say how many.
It's true. I know we don't want to say how many, but and then people want to see original content. Content is still king and queen. So that's what basically we're all about, is original content that is distributed over multiple platforms, including, online, live streaming on demand, cable, live events, and different other little, arms of it, which I think we'll get into as we move forward. But, that's what it's evolved into. Not just a network,
terrific,
but more than that, yeah.
Wow. Well, you know what? We are going to get into every facet of this, Peggy. We really are.
Okay.
But let's go back a little bit. Let's start at the beginning. Now, with our fans, tell everybody where you are from and where you take care of business these days.
Okay. Well, the planet Venus. I am actually, sometimes I feel like an alien. I'm actually originally from Arkansas. The great
Arkansas.
State of Arkansas. Yeah, Bill Clinton and Michelangelo. I'm from Stuttgart, actually. Stuttgart, Arkansas, which is really in between Little Rock and Pine Bluff. I grew up down south. And the first half of my life and the second half of my life, there's a third and a fourth part of my life that I haven't lived yet, so it's not over yet. But the next phase of my life I grew up in is in New York City. So, I am from Stuttgart, Arkansas. My mother and father were entrepreneurs. God bless them. They're my mentors. My inspiration. They both are with God, and they passed away. They are with me every day. My father was a master plumber, and he was and that was revolutionary at that time because you don't have very many African Americans who are master plumbers in Stuttgart, in a town, Stuttgart, Arkansas, which was racially divided. And my father and mother had businesses that catered to white people. I mean, at that time, like I said, in the South, I was growing up, the civil rights era had started, the Black Panthers and all that kind of stuff, but we still had a lot of racial division down there. And, it was very, it affected me and helped mold me, and I started working with my daddy. I did a little bookkeeping stuff at age 10 in his plumbing company. And it just taught me discipline. And then at age 14, I was working with my mother. My mother had a restaurant. So we have a restaurant business kind of in our family, and I learned the restaurant business. I was on the grill cooking, I was waiting tables, and I answered the phone, you know, to take orders, and I answered the phone for my daddy, Dawson's Plumbing Company, and when the clients called and all that kind of stuff. So at age 10, up to 14, I was, learning the how to be an entrepreneur. And it's so important, I feel, that we have to teach our children at a young age about money and entrepreneurship, because it really has helped me to, it has helped mold and shape me and helped me to be independent, a self-starter, and helped me get through a lot of adversity that I would not regularly have probably gotten through the way that I have, and I landed on my feet, you know, because it does teach you discipline.
Yes, absolutely. I'm quite amazed when I hear a story like yours, in which both of your parents were entrepreneurs, and you helping out, because it does. What that does, in my belief, is that it channels that wonderful, it just teaches you without having to have been taught, so to speak.
Yeah.
It's almost like osmosis, you know. It just goes right on in there, and it's there. It's there. And you don't even realize it's there. And then, you know, as you start getting older, you're somehow, it kind of harkens back to that great foundation and introduction and fortitude that you just happen to have picked up along the way. That you know, it's just, I'm blown away by that something that you were able to get from your father and your mother. And look at the way that I look at it, look at the legacy that you've been able to, you know, to continue.
Also my spiritual connection to God, and you know, my mother and father were very into the church, and you know, it has extended through me. I'm a very spiritual person. It has pushed me to expand and learn a lot about different religions and cultures and things. But mom and daddy, my mother was like the mother of the church, and she was a gospel promoter. I met the Mighty Clouds of Joy, Reverend James Cleveland, at a young age, because my mother, she put on gospel. She was a gospel promoter. And my mother was amazing. I'm telling you, my father was amazing. And they are both my, I learned a lot about that, and it helped me in my music, you know, because I have another part of me that's part of the music industry and singing and all that. And
you do have a beautiful voice for you guys out there. So maybe you'll give them a little treat, in a little later on in the interview today.
We'll see about that.
I'm putting her on the spot, everybody.
I know.
Yeah, but I have to tell you, it is amazing. And so these are things that are just, you know, like I said, they're quite remarkable. And all these wonderful things help to shape the experiences that you have, and that you have under your belt, and kind of pushed you towards this wonderful, extraordinary entrepreneur in your own right. And so we're going to get into that a little bit. So you grew up in Arkansas, and then your family kind of moved up north to New York somehow, and you kind of, how did that come into play? And then where did this wonderful inspiration for this wonderful network come from?
Well, you know, my family, I'm daring. I'm a risk taker. My mother did not want me to actually go to New York, but my father was an adventurer, and they were still in Arkansas. I eventually moved to Texas, but
there's a big difference between New York. We're going to be fair about it. Big difference between New York and Arkansas, especially probably in those days.
Yeah. Well, at the time, you know, In Stuttgart, Arkansas, I did a whole bunch of stuff. I was like first runner-up Miss Teenage Black America for our region. My mother put me in pageants, and I ended up singing a lot. And and, you know, competitions and things like that. Like I said, at that time in high school,
mm-hmm.
there was still segregation, and there was a group called the Ricelanders that I could not audition for because I was black. But
wow.
So I couldn't get in there, but as far as vocally, I could out-sing all of them. I'm not bragging or anything but like that, but my choir instructor, Jim Sparks, bless his heart, he took me aside and he taught me how to sing. I started out with Billie Holiday songs and things of that nature. And so I just ended up, long story short, doing a lot of stuff, and then ended up getting two or three vocal scholarships to University of Arkansas in Fayetteville. I got a music scholarship, a vocal scholarship. So I went there. I also got offered to go to West Point Academy at the same time, that same year West Point became men and women together. It was just men, and they were letting women in because I was also very civically I did a lot of stuff. I was student body vice president and girls state, so I got nominated for a lot of stuff. So I ended up taking the music thing because my family's very
mm-hmm.
music-oriented and all that, and went there, landed ahead of musical shows and things like that. I was auditioned for a great a cappella group and got into that. So we ended up going, taking a trip to New York, the theater
wow.
group I was involved in. I was actually playing Mary Magdalene in Jesus Christ Superstar, and then I was in The Wiz. So I played Dorothy.
Wow.
I was in Dorothy and The Wiz, so we at the same time we went to New York, I was Dorothy and The Wiz, and Diana Ross was filming Dorothy.
In the movie,
that's
right?
I met
yeah,
she was filming it, and that's the same year I met her, and we have a family affiliation, the Ross family.
Wow.
And from Detroit, my family on my mother's side is from Detroit, the Rosses, and so and they worked at Motown and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, so I wanted
wow.
to meet Diana Ross. She was my inspiration. And I ended up coming to New York and on this theater trip and fell in love with New York and did not know how I was going to meet Diana Ross, but I was here and I found my way to Queens, to the studio there with a
wow.
friend of mine. I made some
calls. Is that the studio in Astoria, Queens?
I found my way to Astoria, Queens, to that studio. And I don't know how I did it, but I told everybody that I wanted to meet Diana Ross, and I did it. And I took the train there. Never been to Queens before in my life. Got on the train from Arkansas with one of my friends, and we went there to the studio, and she couldn't go in. I was the only one that could come in to meet Ms. Ross. And so I got a chance to meet Diana Ross. I met Sidney Lumet, who's the great famous
director. Yeah.
Yeah. And I met the Michael had just left because he was the Scarecrow. He had left the set. So I didn't meet
mm-hmm.
Michael Jackson, but I met the Tin Man. I met the other guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Michael was the Scarecrow. I met the Tin Man. It was, you know, it was really awesome, and it was very inspirational, and she was
so this
gracious.
Is when they were actually filming The Wiz.
Filming the movie. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
now,
because they called
her
Diane, and I'm Diane, and our both our middle names, and
wow.
it's just that for me that was like a highlight of my life. I said if I can go to New York City and meet Diana Ross, I need to move to
That's
New York.
It. Exactly. Well, you know what? You're absolutely right. Now this is a full circle moment. It's
uh-huh.
just so amazing to me because one of our guests, who's actually on this week as well, is
mm-hmm.
Hinton Battle, who played. Who's a like a several? I think he's won like three Tonys, maybe
yeah.
more awards
uh-huh.
for. And
uh-huh.
he played on Broadway in The Wiz.
He did.
The role he originated, the Michael Jackson role, was the role that he originated. So shout out to Hinton Battle.
Yeah, hey Hinton, I know Hinton. Hey Hinton, this Peggy called
yes.
me. Call me.
He is
yeah.
fantastic. So yeah,
he really
so,
is.
I'm just blown away that that was during that movie. Now, what also was coming to be, it was just released that NBC Television is going to be doing a stage version of, you know, a live program that they're going to be actually, you know, bringing back the Wiz, if you will, for the TV show, a live broadcast. They've been doing these big stage productions recently.
Yeah.
So it's, the Wiz is going to get that treatment, and I am excited for anyone to take on that. Now, so your big inspiration, one of your big inspirations, so we know is, and she's inspired many, many folks, and I've certainly chatted with her daughter, Rhonda, but Barry and Diana Ross's daughter, Rhonda, in the past. But can you tell me, who were some of the others who inspired this great Peggy Dodson? And then we'll get into you.
Oh, my God. I have many, many people in different genres. Dr. King was an inspiration to me. And Reverend Jackson, who I was just with at Wall Street Summit.
And hold it.
People.
We don't want to gloss over these wonderful folks and the kind of connections that that you felt with these folks. Now, talk a little bit about that. Let's start with Dr. King. You know, we are actually kicking off this wonderful celebration to Dr. King this week on the Hair Radio Show, the Hair Radio Morning Show. And we want you to just kind of weigh in. What has Dr. King meant to you, Peggy Dodson?
Dr. King, what he has meant to me, what he means to me, is the chance to be all that you can be in a place that is equal and just. And I feel that was his life, you know, starting with African Americans. And he and the spirit to move forward in all adversities with what you believe in and your faith in God, you know, despite anything, despite anyone, he had his conversation with God, and God spoke to him. And he went ahead despite what anyone said, because what he did had to be done, no matter if he knew that eventually his life, he had to forfeit his life here on this earth. But to have that faith and to accomplish, it's almost like what Jesus did, despite what anybody said, he knew that he had to do and fulfill what God meant for him to do. And I feel that we all sometimes get off track, and it's human, and we all get off track on things. But, you know, the one thing that has kept me going in all of this is my faith and me not giving up through all adversity, because this is not for the weak of heart, this industry, whatever we're in, as you know. It is that we have the deck stacked against us as a people. We don't own our images as much as we should. Stories are being told about us that we don't control. And to be able to step up, not maybe against, I won't say against, but to step out with the powers that be out there and say, hey, this is your story, but it's not my story. And to not be fearful in saying that, it takes a lot. It takes faith, because it can get very scary. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, I just want to let the folks out there know, if you've just joined us, you're listening to the Hair Radio Show. I'm Carrie Hines, and my very special guest today is Miss Peggy Dodson. Now, she is behind the UBC TV network, and we're going to get into that very shortly. But I just wanted to ask you, Reverend Jesse Jackson, now there is a great picture of you and the Reverend Jesse Jackson circulating out there around the internet, and we have that great picture for you, along with a lot of information on you, Ms. Peggy Dodson. So if you guys out there are trying to reach Peggy, you go to hairradio.com, and you'll see all of Peggy's information right there on the screen, along with some great pictures. And I'm told, Peggy, that you have some special words of advice that you are sharing exclusively with the fans of the Hair Radio Show.
Yes. Definitely.
So, yeah, so we want to get you guys following our great interview today. Absolutely, this will continue. So you want to go to hairradio.com and read all of that wonderful information on Ms. Peggy Dotson. Now, I'm ready to get into all about the wonderful UBC TV network. So you mentioned that this is a television network, as we just indicated, but what does the UBC stand for?
Stands for Urban Broadcasting Company, which is so weird. It also stands for Uganda Broadcasting. I have a lot of, and you know, I'm so connected to Uganda. It's weird. It's weird. I love my friends from Uganda, and I have a lot of people from Uganda that actually follow me online, and they love, you know, what I'm doing. I'm very connected to Africa, but especially Uganda. That's the name of the company, is Urban Broadcasting. I wanted something named. I didn't want to pigeonhole, and people may say urban does, but it's, for me, it's urban multicultural. It's about culture, and I think that urban has been defined by others or misconstrued as something that it is not. Simply urban is city and rural is country. So it's urban means city, life.
Oh, okay.
It's
so urban is not just some euphemism for black. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
So
that's how people categorize it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, it means different things. It can mean different things, but for me, it's about lifestyle. And
uh-huh.
when you look at it, our lifestyle is the lifestyle. I mean, lifestyle is how you live, where you live, and that's
uh-huh.
that's what UBC is all about. And it embraces culture. So that it's not a black thing, it's not a white thing, it's all us together. I guess you could say that. UBC.
I like that. So the U can stand for us. Wonderful.
Yes. Yeah,
now, Peggy,
definitely.
Tell us about some of the wonderful projects that you're kicking off at UBC.
Well, I have this has been a labor of love for me. You have to measure and time things correctly. As you know, in this industry, to do a network is very expensive, and it's not easy, because once you get out there, you said, oh, okay, I've got 24 hours to fill. Oh, okay. I need advertisers. A lot of my colleagues who are out there now, who are just jumped on the
uh-huh.
air recently, it's that they've gotten a lot of gray hair, just by having the stress of doing that.
Yes.
You know, so my goal is to roll out, to start the digital part, which I have started officially last year. We have a live stream channel where we are getting ready. We have live stream, we have on demand, and we're actually getting ready to do something very special. We're getting ready to put out our whole lineup as far as original productions that we are going to be streaming. As you know, streaming is really big right now in NBC, Netflix, everyone's jumping into that world, which for me it's there's still a major cost, because you can't just go out and just do it anyway. You still have to have that broadcast quality to that in order to bring on the advertisers or the sponsors that you want to bring on.
Exactly.
What we're doing is the original productions that we will be either live streaming or streaming will be edited, and then from there we back into cable. So we will have, some things will just be totally online, and then some things will be shot for cable TV, which we are rolling out this year, this spring actually. I mean, the date is close, so I've got to watch all over, I'm going to say the date. But we will actually be in about 40 million households, and we'll have channels, we'll have channel positions soon, so I know people want to know that, and I'll be making that announcement. We will be able to be on Time Warner, Comcast, and Dish Network, and DirecTV.
And you'll let us know, you come back and tell all the folks
mm-hmm.
at the radio show?
Yes,
okay,
most
so we
definitely.
Can get an exclusive, guys. You've heard it right here. We're going to hold Peggy to that now.
Okay, that's I would definitely do that. It would be real. It's going to be soon, sooner than later. It's going to be soon, but that's what we're planning on doing, and I'm very, very excited about the lineup that we have. The lineup for the live streaming, of course, is different than the cable. Some of them will overlap. For instance, we have a show called the UBC Mix, which is, I guess you could say, it's almost an evolution of Soul Train. I love, and it's a show I created. A lot of the shows I created, by the way, and over years and years of research, and me, years and years of research and marketing and all of that, and TV production, and what I've done with NCAA sports, and that's my background is from live TV. So I love live television, but I love dance. I dance a lot. I love house music. I love all types of music. But
Peggy, I have to say, I'm not to interrupt you at all. I just want you to absolutely let the folks know, and I want to tell everybody out there, they're listening to you and you're giving them this wonderful information. I just want to remind the folks, you're listening to Miss Peggy Dotson, who is our special guest today on the Hair Radio Show, and she's been telling us all about UBC TV Network. Now, I just want to tell all of our Hair Radio Show fans, if you want to find out more about Peggy Dotson, you want to go to her pages and find out how to reach her and find out more about UBC TV Network. We're posting everything at the hairradio.com website. So that's www.hairradio.com. And there you'll see we're going to hopefully, Peggy will put up some more pictures and all of this wonderful, these wonderful things that Peggy's providing just exclusively for our Hair Radio Show fans today. So we are so excited, and we're going to give them all the information. Now, Peggy,
great.
I have to ask you. Yes, now, we got a little bit into it, but I really want to drive this point home, and I know that you can do it eloquently. Broadcast television seems to be going through a metamorphosis. It seems to be changing in a way. It doesn't look like it used to look. There's a whole lot of, flack about it not being more representative of the folks when we go outside our door. So, so individuals are saying that, well, gee, you know what? We don't control broadcasting, and when I say we, I shouldn't speak for folks, but I think what the message is that they feel that the people of color and the people who are representative of the world, the broadcasting doesn't really speak to those folks by and large. However, the Internet, the new technology, seems to be controlled, so to speak, at this time by the masses. So is there some, big, disconnect between broadcast and Internet or technology and streaming and all of that? Is broadcasting changing?
Yeah, it's changing because it has to. Somewhat. The big disconnect, I mean, that's one of the reasons why YouTube is so big, because you have more control over what you want to see versus what someone else thinks you want to see. And the big problem with broadcast is that it's big.
You don't have any control.
It's
turning
your
channel.
Well, it's big, so you have large organizations that have different departments that don't even talk to each other. So they don't, and you have people who have major pressure on them to create programs because you have accounting people saying, this is not making any money. It's not really set up. You have big public companies who are dividend driven, and they're not content driven. They're sports. People understand sports. That's an easy one. The multi-billion-dollar business. Sometimes like Fox, that's what anchors is one of their big anchors. And then you have American Idol, and then you have a formula. The problem with broadcast and cable too is the formula that's used in calculating what they think people want to see and what individuals go in front of the camera. You have a formula for a story, that is beginning, middle, end, and that is very predictable, but that's what people want because they feel that's what makes money. And then you have a formula for people that you have, maybe if you may have three white people, you may have one black person, you may, it's gotten worse. I don't know. I don't like formulas. I don't even deal with a formula. We're out of the box. My goal is to be able to represent life the way that it is and not contrive it. Even with the reality shows, they're not reality. They're contrived. They're combative. And a lot of the producers do that because they feel they have to create, you know, anger and animosity in order for that, in order for people to watch, and then advertisers sign on, and a part of that is true, but it's not all true, and we're not represented at all, and you know, and the time when we are represented, it's so contrived and controlled and stereotypical, and I mean, there are some shows that I'm not going to say right now. It's just people it's just like, okay, this is a black show, even with major producers that we know that do film, that when they get to television, they get into the formula. And they put this and that. Let's put this. Let's put some salt and pepper and some pasta and the this and this. And that's the recipe. And that's and if you don't do that recipe, you don't get on the air. Mm. So that's the problem. There is a big disconnect, and it has to do with culture. It has to do with disconnect with color. It has to do with people who are in positions who feel they think they know who we are and they don't, who don't know the story. But in essence, they know, all they know is that we have the buying power, $1.1 trillion, and they want our eyeballs. They need the eyeballs in order to bring on Coca-Cola and Pepsi and Mountain Dew and KFC and McDonald's. I mean, those companies know about our buying power. But the word power, you say.
Yeah, I love that. The word power. That's where all of this and what it all means. And I think that, and I think you have completely and eloquently stated what I believe is the disconnect. So going forward, we have the folks like yourself, UBC TV Network, Urban Lifestyle Programming, and you're based out of, you're based where? I just want to make sure we hit all of that.
I'm in New York. I'm in New York City.
New York City!
And, you know, in Harlem, which is the urban capital of the world, you know, it's New York City, and we have a new base that we're building in Las Vegas, and I'll talk about that at some point. We're going
terrific.
To be doing some really exciting things there with another division of the company. We're based here, but we're a global company. We're looking right now. We have some productions that we're working on, a major reality show with a major celebrity that we're I can't announce it yet. Yes,
okay,
a major celebrity.
But you promised to come back
that we,
here and tell
yes,
the fans
we have a
of
major,
the Hair Radio Show.
A major celebrity that we're doing a deal with that we are going to. We're doing a reality show with them. We're going to be following them around, not just here, but we're going overseas. And so that is, you know, that's kind of like what, and some of the programs, the teasers and stuff will be available online. And the rest of it will be on cable. And that's what I like. I like going between, I like the model that I've created because it gives me the flexibility to do things online.
Right, you're not just doing one thing only.
Right, I'm not just stuck to cable, and I'm not just stuck, you know, on one just online. It gives me the flexibility to go back and forth with a show, actually. You can take part of the show, you can put it online and take another part of it, you can put it on cable. That way you go back and forth and you hit different audiences by that way. And we are a producing network, which is very important. I wanted to say that, even though we are doing partnerships with other producers and production companies, but I am a showrunner and I've created my own originals, and I have a great production manager, Academy Award nominated production manager. He's done everything. Worked with Billy Joel. He knows music, he knows sports, and he's just awesome. So it gives us the ability to be a producing network so that we can actually produce our own originals. We can create the originals, we can produce them and distribute them. And we bring in our own advertising and sponsors and things like that. And I have an agency that I'm also dealing with. But it gives flexibility for creativity, mm-hmm. and that's what I wanted because I'm a creative person. I don't want to be in a box where, oh, I'm just a cable network, so I just got to do this. And I love my cable people, but I'm just online, so I just can't do this. No, I love my technology people, so I want both. So it gives us the opportunity to not only create wonderful kind of like reality shows, music events, things of that nature that we have. We have some exciting things planned. I tell you, we are getting ready to step out.
You guys are
into
just moving along. Now,
yes.
I do want to ask you, Peggy, being a successful person out there in business, what words could you say to someone who's trying to follow in the great footsteps that you have trailblazed in terms of broadcasting and setting up your own network and working just all over the country with folks? What words can you say that just might be that great little inspiration that someone needs about now?
There's a couple things. My inspirational words is never give up. My Jewish godfather, who's passed away, Burl Walk, always told me, he says, Peggy, never, ever, ever give up. That is my anthem. The other thing is learn as much as possible about the industry that you're in. Study it, go to trade shows, find mentors in the industry, which is what I've done. I studied this industry. I met people in the industry, just like I did when I was in the music industry. You know, I went to Luther Vandross and I said, Luther, tell me about the industry. This is actually what I did when I moved to New York, and I wanted to find out about the recording industry, which is a totally different industry just being a singer.
Right.
I mean, people think I'm a singer. I'm not digressing or anything. I'm a singer. I want to be a great singer. No, if you want to be a professional singer, that means you are in the business of entertainment. So you need to know about that business. And I just went to every person I could talk to and had them tell me about the industry, and that's how you learn. And then you get mentors in that industry that are, great people who have high positions. One of my mentors, he's retired now from Fox, is Roland McFarlane, who is the only African-American executive at a high level at Fox in Los Angeles at Fox TV and Fox Studios. And he adopted me, I adopted him. And I would always ask him questions and ask him, do you think this idea could work? He said, Peggy, go for it. It's going to work because it's needed. So I always have mentors, even to this day, that I go to and to listen to and talk about things. And I see mentors and just research and just never giving up on your dream, but also just being flexible because what you see now may be a little different than what it really ends up being. I've had to be flexible in my vision with UBC. Like I said, I wanted a network, and now it's really it's UBC. TV network, but it's really just one component of it. We have media, and we have a couple other, we have film. We could talk about the film division. I have a couple other divisions, and we have sports. We have some other things that have branched off, and we're also going to be building studio facilities. So, it's a lot. It's turned into a lot. Yes, I do. And we need to talk about the shopping. You know, don't let me forget about that.
That's something that
I really want to discuss.
Yes, well, we definitely will. And folks, if you've just joined us, this is a very, very special interview today right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We've got a person who is just doing extraordinary things in the way of business and community. The Hair Radio Show is very, very proud to welcome Miss Peggy Dotson. Peggy, again, welcome to the Hair Radio Show.
Thank you.
Now, listen, we've been talking a lot about some of the wonderful business enterprises that you're involved with. And when we talk of UBC TV Network and some of the wonderful programming that we can soon expect, we have to get into the shopping aspect that is about to kick off right here on the this UBC TV network. So tell our fans out there, tell the show fans about this wonderful idea.
Yeah, well, you know, one of the things that sometimes I think I'm just totally crazy, but that's all right because my Jewish godfather said you got to be a little crazy to do this. But the one thing that I see things that are needed, and I try to move to. Create a solution for that, and that's one of the reasons why UBC has been gestating over the past couple of years, really gestating and getting ready to and slowly rolling out. And people say, "When are you rolling out?" Okay, just wait. I got something I'm working on here. But one of the things that I wanted to do, and I've always wanted to do, was to create a shopping component to my network because I wanted to create something whereas I'm not like the other networks where I have to really depend on all the advertisers and sponsors. I want to be able to groom my shows, but I wanted to create an additional revenue streams, and that will keep the company going. And so I've actually created Urban Home Shopping Network. It is a part of – it's going to start out as a show, and then we're going to actually evolve to a separate thing. But it is for – it is an urban QVC. It's for small businesses, women-owned businesses, and people of color who want to gain entry into the home shopping network arena and cannot. I mean, as you know, Home Shopping Network and QVC they're starting to cater to smaller businesses because small business is the backbone of this country. And
exactly.
It is the backbone of this country, and people need to really understand that. And I want to do my part to help the economy, and in order to do that, and to give opportunities to small businesses who actually want to get their products out on television or distribute it globally.
Well,
so
let me just tell you, Peggy Dodson, this is such an extraordinary business that you have launched. So I'm going to just take a quick moment to inform those folks out there, you guys listening right now, that you can go to hairradio.com, and we'll put all of Peggy's contact information there so that we know that you're going to be very much interested in being part of this wonderful, these upcoming projects and some of the things that she's working on now. So you'll just go to hairradio.com, our website. And we have a profile there with Peggy's information and all about how you can contact her to get involved. Peggy, I have to say to you, any final thoughts? You've been such a terrific guest with us on the Hair Radio Show today.
Wow. Well, you know, my final thoughts is I appreciate you have taken the, you know, giving me the time to come on here and inviting me. And I know that we could talk for hours because there's so much going on right now. You know, my final thoughts is, you know, about UBC, go like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. We have, if you have any questions about new shows that we have, you know, you're free to contact us as an email address, or we are looking for, you know, new shows. I am looking for for content, and you know, if you want to join us or whatever, just, you know, like us. And we have to. All I can say is that we have some very exciting things happening and getting ready to happen. We are going to make a major impact in the marketplace.
Yes, you already are. Now, I have to say, Peggy, you go ahead. I'm sorry.
I want to say that we have a I'm making my step into the film world. We have a major announcement that we'll make later on, but I have a division called UBC Films, and I have been able to acquire major distribution in, you know, through Cinemark, AMC and Regal Theaters to distribute urban films. And so that's that cannot take on anything else. But, you know, it's like it's something that has to be done because we need more. As you know, right now people are very upset about Selma and the lack of Yeah, the lack of diversity, and you know that there has to be more diversity, and I think that's happening. Like I said, Reverend Jackson is making a lot of moves in technology, and to help do that. And but you know, there's only, besides my company, there's only one, you know, co-black. There's only, you know, there's very few black-owned companies that distribute films. So we are throwing our hat into the ring, and so we will be doing that. And I have some. That's another division that we'll be talking about over the next few weeks in reference to UBC Films and our, you know, entry into that marketplace of film production also, film production and distribution and funding. Well, I actually have, I mean, to have a separate funding arm that films urban films. We're looking for films 3 to 5 million, up to 20 million. We have funding for you know, anything less, we'd have to talk about as far as development projects. But we do have, I have a funding arm for that. So just wanted to throw that out there.
Well, we are very excited. I mean, you have so many wonderful, wonderful projects going on. And we're just excited for you. And, you know, so we want to let the folks know that this is going to continue. Go to the hairradio.com website. Peggy is also going to put some special words there for you guys and read all about her and see some of those extraordinary pictures. And we're going to have you back very soon right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Peggy again, Peggy Dotson of UBC TV Network. Peggy, thank you so much for being with us on today's Hair Radio Show.
Thank you, Carrie. I look forward to it again.
Thank you. Folks, keep it right here. There's more of the Hair Radio Show to come. All right, we're back live. You are listening to the All New Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. It's Thursday morning, September 16th of 2021. Here in New York, it's about 8:07 Eastern Time, of course, here in New York. And we are taking a moment to welcome back to the broadcast a gentleman who visits us here and there, who runs Bobsa.org. You guys know him very well. We're talking about the one and only, the irrepressible Sam Anan from out in Northern California. Again, Bobsa.org. Good morning, Sam. Welcome back to the show.
Oh, good morning to you, and I'm glad to be on the show this morning.
Yes, yes. You have to get up early, so we really have to say thank you. And to help us to co-host for the hour, we are so excited to have you. It's really cool, really exciting. Well, Sam, did you have your coffee out there on the West Coast, or are you one of the tea drinkers?
No, I've already had my coffee, 2 cups, in fact.
Okay. Wow. Then you are ready, and which is perfect, because I kind of want to jump right on in. For you guys out there, I absolutely love this website. It's bobsa.org, and what I love most about it, and, you know, and I don't hear you guys talk on that level about it, but it's such a resource tool. If you're in the hair or beauty industry, anywhere along the spectrum, I call it, of hair and beauty, I look at your website as a very necessary resource for the industry. And so I thank you for that, Sam. I love looking there. I was like, okay, Sam, you got it together. Very impressive. Okay, so you guys out there, when you get a moment, go to www.bobsa.org. That's B-O-B-S-A. Again, it stands for Black-Owned Beauty Supply Association. Sam, tell us a little bit, and we're going to get into everything, a little bit about what Bobsa is all about, if you don't mind.
Well, it's really simple. We was founded in 2004, and we felt there was a need for letting black folks know where all of the black beauty supply stores are. But we discovered that we didn't have that many black-owned beauty supply stores. So Bobsa was formed to increase the numbers in our community, because most of the stores are owned by, you know, other races of people. So for the last 20 years, we have been helping individuals to open up their own store. And we have really, we're very happy about it, because we probably opened up about 1,000 stores to date. In the last year, we've been averaging about three stores every month, new stores. And they come to, the people come to us, and they don't have a clue. They want to get in the beauty business, but they don't have no idea, you know. So we walk them through the process.
Yeah, and they're happy to find you.
Yeah, they're happy to find us, yes. So,
yes, absolutely.
We're very happy. And not only that, we help people with they want to create their own brand, any research that they need to find out about the industry. They're looking for a product or they want some good hard numbers because the numbers are hard to come by in our industry. Excuse me, hard to come by in our industry, so we have resources to be able to get those true numbers.
Yes, absolutely. And I appreciate you saying that because, like you said, folks, and this is hard to believe, but there, you know, when you're starting a business, it's kind of helpful to know a little bit of something about it. But I've come across a lot of folks here and there in the industry. We're going to just put it on out there. And they don't know where to go. They don't know where the resources are. And that largely has been because before you, Sam, and myself and a few others out there, there were really no resources or very little. So I have to say, you know, you have to be applauded for your platform and what BobFor.org has done and is continuing to do, making a difference in this industry. So I thank you for that. And we'll talk about some of the other little things that you guys have going on, which I absolutely love and have relied on over here at Hair Radio. But first, Sam, I wanted to take a moment to acknowledge the loss of a giant in the industry who I had, hadn't connected like you have connected the black dots. I hadn't connected the dots at the time. So can you tell us a little bit about the gentleman who just passed away, Mr. Ernest?
Yeah, Ernie Durham Jr., founder of Durham Hair Products. They were located in Chicago. He's the founder of Leisure Curl. And
Leisure Curl
was a big part of our industry. When the curls were king back in the day, the curls, Saul Sheen, and then we thought the curls market was dead because the curl was difficult because it was so greasy. So Ernie came out with this product called Leisure Curl. And the way he did it was an unbelievable way that he marketed his product because he was able to do curl-a-thons on a Sunday. He just created the demand. But what he did is when he did the curl-a-thons, he negotiated with the stylists, and they would actually do the curl-a-thon on a Sunday. And it would be between maybe like 12 to 6 o'clock every day on Sundays. And what he did is all the customers would have to do is pay for the maintenance products. The curl was free.
Wow.
But he sold.
That's amazing.
The customers had to buy the maintenance product, and it just blew up. And so
That's a genius idea.
Yeah, by him creating that demand that way, you know, the consumers, after they got their curl done, it was a dry curl, too. It wasn't a wet curl.
The consumers
went out looking for his product in the Korean beauty supply stores because that's who dominates the market.
At the time. Let's just make it clear.
At that time, yeah, because they had like 12,000 stores nationally. So what he did is that he created such a demand that he demanded that if you wanted to buy his product and put it in the stores, you know, the beauty supply stores, you would have to come up with a minimum of $250,000.
Wow.
And I know this for a fact because I was repping the line. I repped his line for a year or so.
Wow.
And then when he...
Where Ernie Durham was based out of?
Out of Gary, Indiana. He had a warehouse in Gary.
He was out of... Wow.
Yeah. And then all of his information is on the Bobsa website. We got a nice picture of him sitting on a pallet of Leisure Curl products, and the unique thing about it, because I actually, what they did is that he got the money, he got $250,000 from anybody that wanted to buy. But what the Koreans did is pool their money together, and came up with it. And they were doing that anyway, so they're very used to doing that, you know, as a group.
I think what you just said, pool the money, is the secret always.
Yeah, because I wrote an order in Oakland, California at Star Beauty. I never will forget it. And Ernie, that was his terms, you know. I had to get Mr. Cool, that was his name. He mustered up $250,000 and gave it to me cash in a suitcase.
Oh, my goodness. I feel like we're on a TV episode of some sort.
I mean, he did $20 million in 1 year, you know.
That's nothing for you. You're doing $20 million.
That was all cash money. But the problem with cash money like that, you know who's looking at you, right?
Well, especially now.
That was back in the – that was in the curl days. You know,
right, but were they looking that hard then?
they were looking. They were looking. Ernie had, you know, he had reps all over. He just about five or six reps all over the country, and
he launched
a lot of new companies like Jamaican Mango. He got him started because
I remember that. That was his company.
That was one of the companies. Of sales that started because of he was able to get so much money to start his business.
Okay. Wow.
You know, and in fact, you know, one year, you know, Ernie was so strong, and you know, he says, if you want your commission check, we're gonna have a meeting in Acapulco, or you wouldn't get your commission check. Now you had expenses, and I went to Acapulco to get my commission check.
I love her. You know what? This is that, and I'm so glad that you're paying tribute to him, Sam, because this is somebody that, you know, I love that it sounds like he, you know, he knew what his value was, and he knew what his worth was, and he was able to ask for it. And this is something that I struggle with. We're going to talk about this in days to come, but I absolutely love that. And I can hear it.
I'm so proud of him because I didn't know that he was an entrepreneur like it, because he invented the Chicago Curl.
Wow. Ernie Durham.
Yeah, and then Good Fred Oil. I don't know if you remember that. Good Fred Oil.
No, that one, I don't think I remember that one. But I'll tell you one thing. Folks, please go to bobsa.org, www.bobsa.org. Sam has a whole write-up on this gentleman, on Mr. Ernie Durham. I'm going to look more at his story, because I'm sure there's some books and things out there. There's got to be
he did a lot in the community, and he's just a fantastic guy. I'm disappointed in myself because I didn't reach out to him. You know, I didn't know. I wish I could have just reached out to him, because what he did over his short life and for the black care industry was unbelievable. Unbelievable, you know. And the story.
Well, you know what, Sam? It sounds to me that we are walking in the path of this gentleman. And for us to be doing what we're doing, and it sounds like this fella sounds amazing, and I absolutely love it. And that is, if I could just take a part of that and turn it to something huge, it makes me very happy, you know, to know that this is what we're doing, and this is someone who did it first. So thank you for bringing that to light and giving him the support and recognition and acknowledgement. Sam Enon. Well, folks, listen, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show today. It's Thursday, the 16th of September of 2021, and I have with us, live on the air, really helping to co-host for the hour, is the one and only Sam Enon. And we're going to get a little bit of background music going here. Sam, now you're out in Northern California, and I don't know, I have to say, I've been up there maybe once or twice, but don't really know it very well. You're, and what's crazy is that I'm looking to come out in 2022
to do a little meet and greet. That's at the top of my list for 2022, is to come out there and just do something small.
Yeah, we're actually 15 minutes from the San Francisco airport north.
Wow.
I mean,
now, there I have been.
No, south.
Okay, I've been to the airport.
we're south of the airport, and we're about 20 minutes or 30 minutes from downtown San Francisco. And we're just across the bridge from Oakland, which is about another 40 minutes across the bridge.
I was going to ask you, isn't Oakland a well-known hair community out there? Isn't it a big hair community there?
Yes, it is. That's a big black community. Yes, Oakland, we used to have a lot of hair shows in Oakland, downtown Oakland. There hasn't been a hair show in Oakland probably in maybe 10 years, a big one.
Wow, I'm sorry to hear that. But I'll tell you something. I'm looking to come out there, and my friends and family members out in Southern California will have a fit. But I'm looking to come to the northern part first. I do want to go up there and visit and head out in the northern part of California. It's just to help build that area for us. And then I'll head down to the southern part and visit all our regular folks who, who are always there to support us and all of that. Now, Sam, I want to turn to you for a moment. You have, like I was saying, your website, again, bobsa.org. What I love about everything is that you have it set up so beautifully. You have it where folks can become members, sign up to become a member of your site, of your platform, and your, a wonderful business that you have going there. And then also, and a part of that, you also have some kind of consulting services. So, again, that's for folks who are looking to start a supply store or anything in the hair realm to me. But can you tell us a little bit more about the consulting and the memberships and all of that wonderful good stuff?
Yeah, we have basic membership is, actually to open up a store is $500. And that gets you in, a lot of our services. We help you from start to finish opening up a store. That's helping you find a location. That's helping you with all the products, with the shelving, with the POS system, just to get you jump-started opening your store with all the basic products that you need to open up a store, okay? And then we do have...
And that could be an online store or a physical location, is that right, or is that only the...
The physical... Well, when you open up a brick-and-mortar store, it used to be you could open up a brick-and-mortar store without having an online presence. Now you have to do
right.
Both, Or if you just want an online store, the membership is half that. It's like $250, I believe. And we help you with all of that, But you keep in mind,
that's amazing.
Everybody is online now. So it's a lot of competition. It's more competition online stores than it is brick-and-mortar stores.
Yeah.
Go on.
That's right. And a lot of that, Sam, has, especially in the recent year and a half or two, where we've been dealing with the COVID situation and all of that. Has that had an effect on BOPSA and what you guys are doing out there in California? Is that something that you've even been consulted about with some of these professionals in the hair business?
Well, one of the things that's positive about this, because it opened up a lot of opportunities for individuals that want to get a brick-and-mortar store, because all of the shopping centers have been closed. And so, there's a lot of space available. So, it's a perfect time to open up a brick-and-mortar store because we know that this is not going to last, So a lot of that's why we had an influx of new individuals that want to open up a brick-and-mortar store. But we have quite a few people that want to open up an online store. But an online store, you can open up an online store and see, I got an online store, but you have to do a lot to promote that store. It's a lot of competition.
Almost every. You know why? Because almost everybody has a store, online store. That is so. It makes it very challenging.
Well, and the elephant in the room is Amazon. I mean, they.
Oh.
That you got to with them too. So you have to really thinking about an online store. You have to really promote that store and do something that's different. To get people to come to your store. Now,
Sam, Absolutely. But do you remember way back and when folks were talking about the buying power and pooling resources together? Nothing against those big box people and all those big warehouse companies and all that kind of stuff that's out there. But isn't there something we can do to band together as folks of color and, you know, spending so much? Is, I saw somewhere, I think on your website, a $9 or $10 billion industry. Isn't there something we can do?
Well, yeah. But,
in terms of, you know, really, you know.
We can do something. But that's going to take a whole lot of work and a lot of programming and a lot of individuals to want to work together to be able to do that. You have to start small, you know. I think we're trying right now to muster up getting a black distributor, you know. There's no black distributors out there other than TWT, Tom Dyree, and he's getting ready to sell his business. And he was really not a distributor that would sell to individual beauty supply stores because his business model was full cases, and mostly he served the big box stores, the Walmart and the Target.
Right.
The small stores where most small beauty supply stores need 3 pieces, 6 pieces. They can't handle a case of everything, you know.
Right, and a lot of them don't have the
space, exactly,
and storage.
You know?
Yeah,
right.
Something very big.
You remember,
I love
the cash business too, you know.
Yeah.
You know, this is a cash business. You know, we don't get terms, you know.
This is true. Listen, folks, if you have just tuned in, we're talking with the one and only Sam Inon live all the way from Northern California. And I always have to make a big deal about this, Sam, because we have a gentleman who joins us on Wednesdays at 8:30, Smooth Black from Southern California. And it just marvels me that California is so responsive to what we're doing here at Hair Radio. And so it's when you come on the show, it's an honor, a privilege. I love the energy that you bring, even though you're just getting up early out there. But you're up early every day. You do a lot of business overseas. You talk to a lot of folks. I've talked with you many times early in the morning, long before others have even awakened here in the East Coast. So we're going to have to find out what your secret is, Sam. Okay, what you putting in the coffee, Sam? Those 2 cups. No, I'm teasing. Listen, I want to also take a moment, Sam, to talk about your products. We're going to take a commercial break. I want to, when we come back, I want to hear about You Go Girl. I want to hear about some of these amazing products that you have. So, folks out there, you're professional in the hair business, you want to sell products. Sam has a whole bunch of wonderful products that he's associated with in addition to helping folks out there like yourself to create your own products. And I know some that need to be referred to you. SamAbobsa.org is our guest today on the Hair Radio Morning Show this Thursday morning, September 16th of 2021. Stay with us. We'll be right back right after the commercial. Stay with us.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders. And that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com. Providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
Hi, everybody.
sweet treat, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry Hunt.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
It's two thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air. I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story, and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details.
It's time to rise and shine with The Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
All right, we're back live. Yes, you're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. It is Thursday morning, September 16th of 2021. I had to check there for a quick moment. And with me is the one and only Mr. Sam Anon from out in Northern California. He runs BOBSA. You guys know BOBSA.org. Wanted to bring him back to the line. As I teased a little bit before the break, we were going to talk about some products. I want to talk about you, Go Girl. I want to talk about some of the wonderful products that you have on a couple of, I know one other website that you have recently launched and put out there, and I want to talk a little bit about that and some of the wonderful supplies that you are connected with, Sam, some of these brands that people have been seeing and may not know who the folks are who's out there helping to get them out there. Can you tell us a little bit about your product, Sam, and how all this has come about?
Well, we've always had a website called Black Box Distribution, Inc., and that website was for new products or individuals that have products and want to be able to sell them directly to the beauty supply stores we open and consumers. And if you go to that website, you'll find a lot of different brands, individual products that are developed by individuals.
Give that website one more time.
It's blackboxdistributioninc.com.
Okay, blackboxdistributioninc.com. Got it. Wow. Awesome.
So that website has been up for 5 years now, believe it or not. And Well, BOBSA's main focus has never been on competing against our members, you know. But we have to put something together, a platform, so they can show their products. And we can kind of force distribution because we help these
Which
stores.
I love that, yeah.
But we force this. We actually put those products in the stores, you know, especially the smaller companies, because they're not in the major distributors, like a PK, like a Jenny's. So we have to help them get the product in distribution. So what we do is when we open
micro brands,
we recommend those products for a store. We can only do it in existing stores. Kind of hard because they already got all the products. So a new store,
they've got the big brands already.
Right. We put the big brands in the store too, but it's given opportunity for the smaller companies because they don't have the sales force or the distribution arm to be able to do that. So what we've done, we have a product, a new product that we've been working on that for almost like 3 years. It's called Black Label. It's a Black Label. It's a hand and body lotion. It's got a beautiful black model on the front of the bottle. It's 16 ounces.
We love this Black Label. Yes.
Yeah. So we have that available. That's in there too. And also we created the collection. The collection is a whole different concept of hair. And we deal directly with the Chinese factory. Now, there again, we did not want to get into that category, but we were forced to because of our beauty supply stores that we're opening demanded they wanted hair products, and a lot of the brands they can't get. So we made it easier for them because I had gone to China about 6 years ago, and I was invited by the Chinese government, Chinese manufacturers. And so I have an excellent relationship with factories over there, you know, so I deal directly.
Has it been that long, Sam? I think I remember when you went.
Yeah. They tried to keep it, but I said, no way.
Wow.
Yeah, and so we did. We went there. We established a relationship because everything, the business is about relationship. I don't care who
right.
you are. It's about relationship and trust. You know, trust.
Correct.
Even if you don't make a lot of money, you know, you got to build that relationship and trust. So
absolutely.
Hair, when you open up a brick-and-mortar store, 60 to 70% of the products and the volume comes from that hair, which I hate it. I hate it. But it is what it is, so we have to deal with that, you know. So
yes.
You know, the products that's on the shelf, the margins are real small. But when you're dealing with
right.
human hair,
right.
the margins are much greater. And that's
it's much bigger, yes.
Yeah. So that's why, you know, that's what pushes the numbers in a store. So that's, and then we had to go another step further. We had to create a catalog for the collection here, which is we have a new catalog, Volume 2, and it's 14 pages. That's on the BOPSA website, too. It's in a flip through it. We will have
Talk to us about this catalog, yes.
Well, the catalog is the one we're really excited about is the braiding hair. Now, braiding hair is the hair that you don't make a lot of margin because the price is like $2.99, $5.99 retail. So, but the braiding hair is in the store, and it has a lot of space in these brick-and-mortar stores because there's such a great demand for it.
I was about to say it probably moves so quickly that that's what
right.
creates the money part. Maybe
right.
not a whole
when they buy
big
a
margin.
Bag of hair for, you know, a hairdo for braiding, it's about six packages, but you're only talking about maybe $30, you know, total.
Right.
But what you need
Braiding, I tell my braiders out there who tune into the Hair Radio Morning Show, and I'm working on doing a big braid event very soon with a young lady out here, but what always kills me is that the braiders are treated like the step kids of the industry. I say, you know, we've got to do more, you know, because the braiding hair is big, as as braiding is much, you know, I don't know.
It's really big, and, you know, they charge $250 to $300 to do a head, you know.
Right. There's money
yeah.
in it.
It takes 3 hours to do it, though. Some can do it.
That's probably why they... Yeah, I think that they, and I give them big respect and big ups, whether you're the African braider or wherever you're braiding across the lines. We have everybody who's braiding out there. And so I just want to always take a moment to acknowledge them because we talk about everybody else in the industry, but very rarely do we have the braiders on blast. And you are providing a lot of products that can help them with their braiding shops and setting up supplies and all this.
The braiders, though, you know, no one has really come out with a catalog other than on digital catalog. We're coming out with the digital stuff, but you can get that too. But we also have the hard. You can order it, and it's $19, but it's 24 pages. And it's got all of the braiding styles, and not styles, but types of hair, you know, textures, and, you know, all the different ones. And it's priced clearly in there, too. That's available to you. You just go to our website and click on it, and you can actually order it right online.
Go to BOBSA.org. That's BOBSA.org to order this, folks, please. I know a lot of folks out there. We have to go in. I'm going to share this information again. Throughout my Facebook and on my hairradio.com site as well, because this is important, Sam.
Mm-hmm.
you know, and just to remind everybody, you're doing, your website is a great resource for the industry. To me, it's one of the tops. When I go to bobsfor.org, I love all the different things you have going on. You help other folks to put themselves out there. You've been somebody who's been incredibly supportive to Hair Radio. And so we've got some announcements to get into in just a bit. Coming up in just a little bit, I'm going to talk a little bit more about this new wonderful unveiling for Bob's Radio that we'll get into a little bit right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. But you've helped so many, Sam. It's not just us and Hair Radio and some of the wonderful supply store folks that we've had on in the past. You have made a difference in a lot of these folks' businesses. Like you said earlier at the lead-off of today's broadcast, they don't, interview that we were doing with you on the broadcast, but they don't have the experience yet or the knowledge. And then they look up and, you know, they find you, and you're able to help them along the way. Now, that wasn't your plan originally, was it, Sam? Was your plan, was it a surprise to find that folks did not know very much about the industry, the supply industry that they wanted to embark on? Or did you know that there was a need like that exactly when you kind of got into it?
We had a group of black beauty supply stores here in Northern California. We all came together, and they felt that it was a need. That's why we went ahead and did it. But, you know, they kind of, you know, you get a group of people together, and you can tell who's going to survive.
And after 3 months, it looks a little different.
It took them 2 years, 3 years. You know,
That's pretty good. So, listen, you know, if you've made it 2 or 3 years, you did good.
Yeah, so you try and get more people interested in it. But being the way technology is now, it makes it much easier to reach out to more people. Because we used to have to fly to all these different states to get it jump started.
Wow. That's amazing to me. That really is. But that's what it really takes. You've got to get out. You got to do the Madam Walker thing, I call it. You got to knock on doors. You got to just get out and let your feet take you in. You know, and talk to a lot of people. That's what business is all about.
That's why we love this industry.
The
trade shows helped us a lot, too, you know, because you can get them all in one place. And that's taken away from us, you know what I mean? Next year, because in a way you can go and you can see a lot of different people and talk about your mission and what you're trying to do.
To me, the trade shows are the most inspiring of the industry. I don't know about you folks, but I love them. I live them. That's what, as I was telling, recently we had one of your compadres with us from Brana Brothers, Bernard, and I was telling him as well that this is where I got the motivation to stay in the industry. And that's kind of where I saw a need to, you know, that I could see a pathway for myself. That's how I was inspired to do that. It was from attending those trade shows and going to little meetups, which came along the way a lot later. I don't remember so many little meetups when I was out there. They had hair shows and stuff, but not the little things and the little tiny things and stuff like that, which I think gained popularity over the years since I've been in the industry. But I love it. I think it's awesome. And you are inspiring folks, Sam. So what do you say to that?
Well, I hope so, because we got to leave something here, right?
Exactly. Well, you have a big legacy, Sam. You have a big legacy. You have been out there doing the hard work for a while, and we want to remind folks. Now, what I want to know about, where is my Connecting the Dots newsletter? I miss it. Where is it, Sam?
Well, you know, we had a young lady who was doing that for us, you know, and it's a lot of work. And we're going to...
Yeah, that is true.
It's a lot of work, and so much information that need to be put in the newsletter. Actually, the newsletter kind of highlights everything you have on the website, but it's in one place.
Yes, that's true. The newsletter is just fun to get. And it is a lot of work. It's like literally putting together a magazine almost, and it's a lot. I tell Sam, absolutely. Doing the newsletters, doing websites and apps and everything. People and somebody might get it or receive it, and then they don't realize how much work has gone into it. And, you know, so it takes a lot and to maintain all of this. It really does.
We're going to bring it back. We're going to bring it back.
Yes, please. We're going
to bring it back until next year, you know, because I have to have a special person to do that. And, you know, all these projects, you know, now in social media, it's a full-time job. You know,
this is true. Well, listen, I'm raising my hand at Hair Radio. We hire Hair Radio. We will manage the heck out of that connecting the dots. Because I love, you know, this is not a secret. I talk to Sam all the time about this. You know, I've talked with you in the past about it. The newsletter is very inspiring. We still need it. It is very much needed, even though we have information that's hitting us, slapping us in the face from every direction under the sun. We still need a trusted source for information that puts black folks first in this industry. And I have always felt that. And so I love that. It used to say connecting the dots, and then I looked up again and said connecting the black dots. I said, okay, Sam, you got it. You did a great job. And so folks have to be reminded. You need to go to bobsa.org and check out Sam's work. Check out Become a Member. That's important. I'm again raising my hand here at Hair Radio. We are a member of BOBSA. You can be a member of BOBSA. Go to BOBSA.org for you industry folks. I'm looking forward to continuing this amazing talk with Sam. We are also launching BOBSA.org. I'm going to say BOBSA Radio because that's what it's going to be called. We're going to have that housed over at our 24-hour network that we're bringing back. And Sam is going to be front and center. Sam, they'll be able to listen to you night and day if they wish. We're going to get all that out there along with a lot of the folks who are helping to build, you know, that you've helped to build, literally, the foundations for the supply stores. So we're going to talk about all that. And BOBSA, what I really want to do with BOBSA Radio, Sam, and you tell me as well, but I want to make it so that, like you mentioned, those folks who are trying to get their businesses off the ground and have no idea which way to go, they'll be able to find BOBSA, number one, BOBSA.org, but they'll be able to find the radio and let that be a support. You need a several different thrung approach, and I think that BOBSA Radio is going to be able to add to your wonderful platform in so many ways. What do you think about it, Sam?
I think it's great. And one thing I don't want to forget is our new BOBSA app, which will be up and running the end of this month. And
how did I miss that, Sam? Hold it. The new app? Okay.
It's on the BOBSA website, too, but we've been building it. And what we've done is the app is going to have all of the black beauty supply stores, black-owned now, black braiders, black nail shops, barber shops, and you can go in and register for free and put your information in there. You'll be automatically in that on that app. And all of the
now, apps, I saw this, too, on your website, right? You can also register on the website as well for that. I saw that. I love that.
That's where you register, on the website. And, you know, but you got to be black-owned. You know, when we're going to screen all that.
I saw the criteria. Let me tell you, I was there checking it all out, you know, at BOBSA.org, and I'm doing my research and my information. You know, I look over everything when I'm talking to folks. And even though I've been to BOBSA.org website a million times, I always go back and double-check things. And here I'm looking. I'm like, okay, I can register for this amazing directory that the BOBSA is behind. And then I saw the criteria.
and
I'm not going to say what it was.
There's a video clip on there, too. It tells you about it.
I love what you're doing.
And then you click on it, and you put your zip code in, if a consumer is looking for a beauty supply store or salon, whatever.
Yes.
And they put the zip code, and it'll bring it up on a map, Google Map. And it'll have that thing in the box of logo. The black
right there.
Will come up.
That is amazing. And you still have that. Don't you still put the little, the proud, hold on, let me get the name right. The little lady, the little black logo on products.
Look for the
The Bopsa lady, I call it.
Look for the black lady in the circle. No, black lady.
The black lady, black lady in the circle. Okay, I love that. And that kind of gives you an indication. It definitely tells you who are the folks behind it, which is important. Again, when I saw $9 billion, $9 billion industry, and it's really pushed by folks of color, obviously, you know, there are some folks that say we have a big percentage of that. I don't think so, not in my estimation.
It's probably bigger than that because of the hair. The hair is bumped.
You think so?
Oh, yes, it's bigger than that. And then, you know, the distribution now, it's so easy to get products, you know, with the, you know.
Yeah, but we know the owning part. We gotta work on that side, folks.
Yeah.
That's less, that's way, I think saying 3% has been generous. I don't think it's 3%. But we need to get the numbers up. And this is why I think you said working together. So I want to remind everybody.
We're the consumers, and we're the ones that buy it all.
Yes. That's the thing. We're the consumers.
Right.
We are the consumers. We're the people who drive the products. And if we decided to change that, they would not be in business, these folks who are not in the community, who are benefiting so greatly off the backs, literally, of folks in this community. So we're going to continue to have these discussions as we go on. And particularly, I'm so excited because I'll get to work on a lot of this with Bopsa Radio, that we'll be able to delve into some of this. And I think you're going to have to, folks, buckle up, because I think there'll be some great information that you won't hear anywhere else except through Bopsa.org and Bopsa Radio and the Hair Radio show platforms putting this out there. So good stuff. Sam, before we go today, what are some of the things that you want to say to get these people motivated, you know, getting them on the right track? Obviously, we say go to Bopsa.org, but become a member. I think that's a good thing for them. They're starting their supply businesses. Make a phone call to you or go to Bopsa.org and check out everything that you're doing. What advice would you tell them in terms of getting started? What are some of the things?
Well, you know, the first thing they can do is if they want to know more, they can contact us. They can send us an email to sam@bopsa.org. Or they can text me at 650-863-3491, and I will spend some time talking to them and talking them through, you know, see if they're really serious. But if you're serious about starting a beauty supply store, the first thing you need to do is come up with a name. If you got a name, you got to come up with a name. You want to start a business and you don't even have a name yet, and that's really the
that happens. First thing. And, folks, listen, when you do come up with that name, run it by somebody else, please. First, always, I tell folks, because choosing it, we're going to, one of these days, Sam, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show, I'm going to do a whole episode about choosing names and developing product names and store names and all those things that are so key. It's literally key to what I believe your success and, you know, kind of like our own names. They kind of, you know, becomes self-fulfilling prophecy, if you will.
Not to cut you off, but
go right ahead.
One thing you can do when you think about a name, keep this in mind. When they Google looking for a beauty supply store, most people think that they want to give their name Davey or Jew or whatever, James.
Right.
For their store name. If you're in a city, come use that city name. I mean, think about it.
That's a great idea.
You'll get more results on the searches because the city name.
That's right. I love that idea. But you know what? A lot of folks don't think like that. They want to have their name in front of everything. And that's really true, Sam.
Because that makes them feel good. And I understand that.
Exactly,
I understand that. I've never heard of a Chicago beauty supply store. or Detroit.
No, neither have I.
You know, I got a guy with Motor City Beauty Supply.
Oh, I love that. Yeah,
you
that's Detroit. All right.
Beauty Supply. Why not? I was thinking about going and register all those names.
I love that, though.
That way people, and then sell them. But I'm not going to.
Yeah, well, there's big business in that. And in fact, there was a big story out in the news just yesterday where folks are literally trying to get the URLs away from you. So, like, those popular URLs, like I own about 20 different website URLs, and that folks would like to get them from us because they're so they're worth a lot of money. So, interesting stuff.
When this first started, a lot of people homesteaded those names, like even Bank of America.
Oh, of course.
They had Bank of America years ago, you know.
Exactly. And they had to pay for that. A lot of those big corporations had to pay to get access to their own type of name that they wanted to put out there.
Right.
True, Sam. I remember that. Boy, you go back, Sam, you know.
Yeah, so when you think of naming a beauty supply store that you want to open, think of the city that you're in.
Mm-hmm.
Because
that's
at the end of the day, it's about, you know, making your business successful. You know, it's not about making your business successful.
And how you do that is to first go to bobsa.org. Please, bobsa.org. Check it all out. It's, again, to me, it's my favorite resource tool in the industry. I encourage all of you guys out there to follow Sam and stay in touch with us here at Hair Radio. We're going to be connecting with him, and we'll be letting you know when Bobsa Radio will be rolling on out. So we are so happy. Sam, as always, it's a pleasure to have you with us on the Hair Radio Morning Show. What's next for you?
Next with me is probably going back to bed. I'm kidding.
You're out. You know, and I wanted to, that's a good point. Sam is out in Northern California, but you help folks all over this country. I talk to Sam all the time. He's sitting, you know, Carrie, I got somebody here right in your backyard, you know, for you. You work with everybody. So please, folks, remember that. That is very true. And Sam gets up early like me.
Yeah, and I do have a surprise because I do have someone in your backyard that I want to talk to you about.
You always say that, Sam. And he does. Well, listen, after today's show, I'll be following up with you because I've got some ideas and things, and I'm ready to jump on in. We love Bobsa.org. We love Bobsa. You guys are doing some big things, and it's a pleasure and an honor. So on this, as we kind of wrap up show number 609 of the Hair Radio Morning Show, just our three-hour broadcast. It's been my honor and pleasure to welcome back the one and only Sam Annan. We suggest, again, go to bobsa.org to check out what they're doing these days. And, Sam, we'll have you back soon on the show.
And we will get that newsletter up and running again.
Now, that sounds awesome, and we're going to have to talk about it right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, listen, we're going to get our outro started in just a bit. Tomorrow, we have some folks. I'm going to try to get them on. We're trying to get the center stage going again with the music and all of that. There's a rap artist, a young rap artist that I'm so proud of and so honored to talk about what he's doing. He's also connected with some braiding folks, and they want to come on the show. I'm trying to launch a concert series right here live on the Hair Radio Morning Show. So all of that, plus what's happening with my next live event here in the Northeast, and then later also out there in Cali, as we were talking about earlier. If you've missed any part of this, we're going to share it online. I'll turn on the 24-hour, our 12-hour radio network that's leading into our 24-hour network, as well as so many other things. Folks, we'll see you back here tomorrow starting 6 o'clock. Here's our outro. Sam, thanks again for being with us. Folks, keep it right here.
Well, it's that time to bring this episode of the Hair Radio Morning Show to a close. But it does not end here. The show continues over at our 24/7 Hair Radio broadcast network at www.hairradio.com. Now, I must thank today's great guests and our legacy advertisers. These are the folks who've been supporting our show over the years, including Dr. Raglan, Yolanda Raglan at FixYourFeet.com. They are the very best in foot care. She has two locations, one in New York City and the other in Maryland. I also want to take a moment to acknowledge the amazing Troy Ballard, of course, from the West Coast out in Southern California. His company is called Smooth Black Ink. Now, he offers the very, very best in hair care for the entire family. He is a legendary hairstylist and educator. And also, he's a program host right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We just appreciate him again. That's Troy Ballard, a.k.a. Smooth Black of Smooth Black Ink. Also, we are talking about a complete line of products for the guys now. It's at Rugged Evolution. Now, Rugged Evolution Beard Care is the actual name of the company. Rugged Evolution Beard Care makes a complete line. I love their products. Go to www.ruggedevo.com for more details. Again, that's ruggedevo, that's EVO.com for complete details on their products. Also, StimulatingRoots.com. Now, Stimulating Roots is a hair product growth system for women, for everybody, really. And how they spell it, I love this, it's R-U-T-Z. Get amazing hair products that support healthy hair. And I say the secret is in their name, Stimulating Roots. That's really it. That's what actually grows the hair. Now, we're also taking a moment. Go to their site, StimulatingRoots.com. Again, it's spelled R-U-T-Z is how they spell Roots.com. Now, we're also thanking our entire advertising and promotions family for introducing our show fans to their great products and services. And you will find many of them right here in our website store at www.hairadio.com. That's hairradio.com, spelled with just one R. Now, it's also been our honor to welcome our amazing Hair Radio Morning Show fans from coast to coast in the United States and North America to continents all around the world. Our many friends and family, folks over in Ghana, South Africa, Nigeria, Egypt, and our folks across the diaspora of Africa, of course. Now, we're also thanking our big fan base in Europe, folks over in Italy, Spain, France, England, and really all over there, to folks back here, right here in America, folks who join me from all different time zones. I broadcast from right here in Brooklyn, New York. The show is live from 6 in the morning to 9 Eastern. Again, that's Monday through Friday. So we're on the East Coast, and we're reaching folks who tune in from the Central Time Zone, from out in the West Coast Time Zone, and we are just honored, and we thank you from New York to L.A. and from, you know, from Boston to Miami, Florida. So we just love you guys, whether you're in Texas, Chicago, wherever you are, you can tune into this broadcast. And again, we thank all of our amazing fans, and to the island. We haven't forgotten about you folks. We thank you. We welcome you. We appreciate your participation in our broadcast. Now, it's been my honor to pay tribute to some of our amazing guests also who join me right here for live interviews, including the biggest story in the whole country was all about Tessica Brown and the Gorilla Glue. Well, we had the very doctor, the miracle doctor, Dr. Obeng, right here on our show all the way from Beverly Hills, California. He told us all about the incident. Also, I had a chance to chat with Beyonce's dad, Mr. Matthew Knowles. Madam C.J. Walker's great-great-granddaughter, Lilia Bundles, was on with us. Also, and that was before she was on the Netflix show. I also wanted to mention, or before she created that, the book sponsored her show on Self-Made on Netflix. You guys know what I'm talking about. And from the famous Bronner Brothers family, we had one of the Bronner Brothers on. Bernard Bronner was my very special guest recently as well. Now, I had a chance to interview many, many folks from the world of music as well, of course, like Grammy winners Dionne Warwick, Gerald Austin from the Manhattans, to Broadway Tony Award-winning legends like the one and only music icon as well, Ms. Melba Moore, with singers like CeCe Peniston, Allison Williams, Tony Terry, Lenny Williams, to other...